This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell along with Tim Kearns and Adam Philpott. Tonight we're in Ipswich for a Baker Division Cape Ann League matchup between Ipswich High School and Manchester Essex. Now, Manchester Essex comes into tonight's game at 2-1, Ipswich 1-2, but in their division, they have not played a game yet. They're both coming in 0-0. So tonight's a big game to start off divisional play.
Well, here's the opportunity to set a tone for your divisional play, to get a leg up on one of your opponents, Bill. And it's a great night. It's a little cold. It's perfect football weather, as I think Adam will attest to later on. 1-2, 2-1. Hard to judge early in the season just where the teams are. You have to look at the manner in which those games went. But two really evenly matched teams.
Yeah, and who they have played too. You look at Ipswich. They played at Newburyport. Played at Triton. And those are tough games to go to play at those two schools.
Yeah, Newburyport's been struggling a bit this year, but still, it's, you know, they're big, they're physical, and they're capable of putting hurtings on people.
All right. Well, we'll check lineups and all of that with you in just a moment. We've got both head coaches coming up as part of our pregame show. Jeff Hutton from the visiting Manchester Hornets will be up first, followed by Kevin Fassett, the head football coach at Ipswich High School. So stay with us right here on MSONewsSports.com. It's live football coverage from the Cape Ann League tonight, Ipswich and Manchester Essex, here on MSO News Sports.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student-athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our three locations, in Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Stronger, faster, tougher. When you need the MVP of community banks, look no further than the Institution for Savings, with 14 full-service offices throughout the North Shore. We have MVP rates and an all-star team to serve you. Bank from the ball field with our 24/7 online application apps, internet banking, mobile deposit, and more. Institution for Savings, your winning team. Visit institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender. MSONewsSports.com is your connection to North Shore news and sports. Local video and radio interviews, photos, and much more. And a daily local radio newscast on North Shore Today.
With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore with Manchester Essex football coach Jeff Hutton. Coach, 2-1 start. Last time we talked, you guys were 1-0. You went across whatever that is, the canal there, and went down to Nantucket. Maybe a little bit of a recap on that.
Yeah, I mean, overall, it was a good trip. I mean, we didn't come back with a victory, but I think our kids played tough down there. It was a much different away game than just a typical bus ride to a local school. We stayed over the night, in Hyannis the Friday night, stuck in about 4 hours of traffic to get down there Friday night. Then we walked. The good thing is we only had to walk to the ferry in the morning. But then we had to load up on another bus to get to the high school, and it was just different.
Yeah.
Good. I think it was a good experience for the kids, and you know, we played against probably the one of the best teams in the state, especially in Division 7 in Nantucket. They were 9-3 last year, got all the guys back, odds on favorite to repeat, possibly go to the Super Bowl and win it out of Division 7 this year. So statistically, we matched up pretty well with them. It's just we came up pretty short on the scoreboard.
Okay. The mics are here, so if you did that, that's fine. Little instruction here, you know, being the teacher, you know. Field position gave you guys a bit of a problem in that game, and field position is often dependent on special teams, not always, but along a lot of it. Was that rectified now for the Essex Tech game, because you guys had a dynamite game?
Well, not if you saw the first play of the game. We gave up a kickoff return, but thankfully it was called back because of a penalty. So, again, that's been our Achilles heel for the last two games. We did settle down. Obviously, we got a shutout, and we stopped them. I think they had first and 10 inside the 20, and we forced them, you know, we stopped them on fourth and short, and three plays later, we were in the end zone. So that was kind of like a wake-up call mm-hmm. to, like, hey, you know, even though they haven't scored and they're 0-2 for the season, they're here to play. Like, we can't just overlook people. You know, we're not as good as we think we were. And like, maybe that was the mindset. I'm not sure. But whatever it took, we woke up, and I think we played very well after that. But, yeah, I mean, that hurt us big time against a really good team in Nantucket, a veteran team. You know, three and out inside our 10 to start the game, two straight drives, and they punch it in and score, and it's already 14-0 before half our fans got to their seats. So, and you can't do that against any team, you know, let alone a team that's predicted to be the Super Bowl favorite.
So what were some of the highlights then against Essex Tech, especially after having you know, gone on the road trip and not won down there? I'm gathering, you know, you must have had a good week of practice, and then how did that play out in the game?
Well, I think, yeah, exactly. It all starts with practice. You know, the old adage is you play like you practice, and we were sharp mentally and physically all week last week. And you know, after giving up 34 points week one, 32 points week two, we it was kind of like, hey, when are we going to start playing some defense? And I think that was the whole point of last week, is we got to get better on defense. We got to gang tackle, better angles for our tackling. You know, some of our alignments weren't right, and definitely our assignments weren't where they're supposed to be. So we spent a lot of time shoring up some of those things. And we're still not where we need to be, especially with what I consider a veteran team. You know, we've had some of these guys that have been starting for 3 years, and we're still kind of making some of the same mistakes. But we definitely took a step in the right direction last week.
Well, you know, Robbie, obviously, I think he has six touchdowns or something
six
like that.
Season,
okay,
yeah.
So he's got six, but you've scored a lot of points. So your offense, you're getting some offense from other people.
Yeah, the last two games we've had Jake Athanas is a junior running back for us. He's had, you know, I think he had 96 yards or 95 yards against Nantucket and a touchdown. He had 119 last Friday night and a touchdown. We threw two touchdown passes in the game, so I think we completed four or five passes. So that's, you know, we tell our quarterback, if he can give us four out of seven, four out of six, and we got a pretty good chance to win a football game.
Okay. And obviously, just make sure my thing's running here. Yep. We have to talk about the line coach. Too frequently, it always focuses on the skilled positions, but give me the names of a couple of guys who are doing it up front for you.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, we have two captains on our offensive line. Actually, three captains on our offensive line. We have Jackson Rice, Andrew Hanzopoulos, and Charlie McDowell. And then we have we have two juniors. The other two guys are juniors on our offensive line. That's our center, Ryan O'Connell, and right tackle, Noah Rawson. Those guys, you know, it's a veteran group. It's the same group that we had last year. Mm-hmm. We did move some people around. Like, Ryan was a guard last year. We moved to center. Andrew was a tackle. Now he's a guard. So I think we finally got the pieces where we want. And, you know, I mean, we've done pretty well offensively moving the ball. And, you know, the running backs, well, we'll tell you, if they're not blocking, and we're in trouble. And these guys, and they like to be physical. So that's the thing.
Yeah, the wing T, you guys run the wing T.
Yes.
Again, emphasize how important it is for everybody to do their assignment, especially the running backs. Paul Ingram used to say that everybody blocks. When you're carrying the ball, when you're in a wing T backfield, that is as important as running the ball.
Oh, yeah. I remember the funny thing is when coaching over in Beverly with Roger Day, he would hold that over the running back's head like a carrot. Like, if you don't block, then I'm not giving you carries. So they would really work hard with their technique and block, because they knew that they were one misread by the defense away from a long touchdown. I think that's what happens when you play against this type of offense. You're asking, you know, 14 through 18-year-old high school boys to be disciplined every single
right.
snap.
Right.
And, you know, the funny thing is that's what we're going up against this week against Ipswich,
okay.
too.
Well, that's next in the program then. Coach Kevin Fassett, they had a tough game against Triton, played Triton very tough. So what do you see from Ipswich?
Well, I'll tell you what, they got some guys, they're bigger than they look, than you assume. They got some good-sized kids on their offensive and defensive line. Those guys come off the ball like gangbusters. I mean, their D-line and their offensive line, those guys are getting on people, they're getting to the second level.
They're doing a really good job of blocking linebackers. And you know, if with that option offense, if you can get to that next level and it's one-on-one with a safety or one-on-one with a defensive back, and you usually like that as a coach when you have a running back one-on-one with somebody that's that far away from the ball.
Coach, how do you replicate the other team's offense in practice in high school, if you do that?
I mean, you watch a lot of film. You draw up plays. You put them on play cards. You have the guys that aren't playing hop on the other side. But I don't think, unless you have 75, 80 guys at every, you know, three or four deep at every position, it's tough to replicate anybody's offense, let alone a team that has been running the option where you've been reading all preseason and all regular season. We're asking guys to do that in 3 days, you know. So it's, we have to adapt it as best we can, but I don't think we ever, here at least, fully replicate what other teams can possibly do.
On defense, is the key to the option being disciplined?
Well, I think in any offense you play against, I think it's, you know, the alignment first and then your assignments. If you have a specific assignment on this play, whether, you know, if we're talking about the option, if your assignment is to tackle the dive guy, then you better tackle them all the time. And same thing, if you're responsible for tackling a quarterback, then you can't get hung up or diving outside or jumping inside. Like, you do your assignment.
Okay. Well, wow. Okay. You guys, road trip at Ipswich. Anything else, Coach, you want to mention? Because it's a good start. It's a terrific start for the whole North Shore. I'm looking at the Northeastern Conference. They've got 7 schools at 3-0 going into this weekend, and similar action in the Cape Ann League. Just a great start to the year.
Yeah, I think for us, our whole emphasis this season is we haven't been great in, at least in my tenure here in the 2 years. We've been 1-7 in league play. We went 0-4 last year, so we definitely want to have a little bit better showing this year. So this is our first league game, and I think, you know, we need to come out and set the tone, and I think, you know, if we do that, if we can come out and play very well, that could set us up pretty nice moving forward in league play.
All right. Thank you, Coach. That is Manchester Essex football coach Jeff Hutton with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.
Get the skills you need to be a leader in sports and recreation. A master's in athletic administration from Endicott's Van Loan School prepares students for careers in schools, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, sports governing bodies, private sports clubs, and more. Van Loan's athletic administration master's program is 100% online with affordable tuition. Try a class before fully enrolling. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/athleticadmin today.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
A great way to monitor what's happening on the North Shore? Get the MSO News Sports app. A click here, a click there, you're listening or watching North Shore football. And check out the latest stories on our webpage, msonewsports.com. Welcome back to MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell. We are joined by Ipswich High head football coach Kevin Fassett. And Kevin, you've got Manchester Essex over there this weekend on Friday night. Tell me about the game. What kind of game are you expecting?
Yeah, it should be a great game. The last 2 years, it came right down to the last quarter and almost the last play. So we expect a great game. You know, they just had a great game against Essex Tech and put up a lot of points and looked pretty strong on defense. So it should be a very good contest.
Well, tell me about your team. I know you struggled a little bit in Newburyport and so on. Tough opponent last week. So
What's the status of Ipswich football right now?
Well, I think last game we did a lot of really good things. I thought Trenton was a very strong opponent. Coach Sheehan does a great job getting those guys ready, and I thought, you know, offensively we put the ball on the ground too much, and we've been doing that a lot this year, and that's my fault putting in our split back beer offense. And if we eliminate those, you know, mental and physical mistakes, I think we'll be okay. But I think that was, you know, even though it was a loss, it was a little bit of a confidence booster. I thought we played our best game regardless of the results, and I think putting a consistent four quarters together is still our goal, and, you know, hopefully we haven't played our best football yet, so I think we're getting better each day.
Yeah, I saw Triton over in Swampscott. They are a good team. You know, they've been a very good team the last few years, and they're a very solid team right now for sure. Yeah. Well, Kevin, tell me about your team. Who are the key people that you're relying on, let's say on the offensive side of things?
Yeah, I think right now I think Justin Moran, our running back, is really emerging. He had a great game last game. You know, if we make our reads a little bit stronger and more consistent, he's getting the ball more in our triple option scheme. And, you know, our strength of our team really is up front. You know, Caleb Kamoa at right tackle. You know, Peter Spinelli's been great at right guard. You know, Aiden McAdams at center. We got Kevin Swenson and Will Genolfi up front. And those guys really are going to be a huge factor in us moving forward, as this offense isn't really as complicated mentally as it is just very particular in running the plays. If those guys can figure it out and we're blocking the right guys and making the right reads, I think we'll be okay. So really up front, I think that's the strength of our offense. And also Isaiah Morrissey came out last game with some good returns, and he hasn't played football in a few years, and it looks like he's a fun weapon to have moving forward.
And on the defensive side of the ball, I know it's some of the same players, but maybe obviously their roles are different on the defensive side of things for Ipswich.
Yeah, Peter Spinelli up front at that three technique or a nose has been probably our most consistent player so far. He's been pretty disruptive in the backfield, and, you know, he moved Caleb Kamau over there also. So the deep front looks pretty strong at times. You know, I think, you know, Matt Rugo and Tommy Heron in the secondary are also very strong for us, having playing experience. And, you know, if we can get them healthy and 100%, I think their play will even get better. But I think they've been pretty strong for us so far defensively, getting us lined up and making plays when we need to have.
Kevin, maybe a final question. What's unique about Manchester Essex as an opposing coach? What is it about this team that what are some specific and problems that this team brings to you guys this week?
Yeah, I think, you know, their offense poses some problems as far as they run a wing T style offense. I mean, they've doctored up a little bit differently with a pistol look, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's big on eye discipline, and you know, teaching a young kid to read his keys and flow the correct way to where the ball's going is hard because there's so much misdirection in that offense. So if you don't have very good eye discipline and you don't come in locked in ready to play, they can put up some serious numbers on you, and that's a challenge in its own right there. So, you know, that's something we definitely have to make sure we, you know, take care of and eliminate some mental mistakes on the offensive side of the ball. But I would say their offense can be scary if we have guys that are not reading their keys correctly.
Gotcha. Kevin, any other news with your football team, the Ipswich High football team, heading into week four of the season?
Yeah, I think we're getting some of our guys back, and we're getting healthier, which everybody has injuries at this point of the year, so that's not an excuse. But, you know, some guys with a little more playing experience to give us maybe a little more punch and confidence. And, you know, hopefully we'll get better week to week, and that's our goal. And, you know, I think we can put out a little bit better of a product than we have our first 3 weeks. And I think we just got to work a little harder. And I think it'll be a nice stretch here down the last four or five games before the playoffs, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, great talking with you. Good luck on Friday night. We'll look forward to seeing you over there. And thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you. Thank you guys for everything you do.
Kevin Fassett, head football coach at Ipswich High School on MSO News Sports.
Stronger, faster, tougher. When you need the MVP of community banks, look no further than the Institution for Savings, with 14 full-service offices throughout the North Shore. We have MVP rates and an all-star team to serve you. Bank from the ball field with our 24/7 online application apps, internet banking, mobile deposits, and more. Institution for Savings, your winning team. Visit institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender. MSONewsSports.com, MSO Radio.
Welcome back to Ipswich. I'm Bill Newell along with Tim Kearns and Adam Philpott joining us here tonight as Ipswich will get ready to kick off to Manchester Essex. The ball will be in the air from right to left. Kicking off will be Caleb Camo. So Camo comes on at soccer style, right foot goes into the ball, line drive kick, lands inside the 30 at about the 25, fielded there at the 18, run out by Manchester Essex by Lake Fleming. He's out over the 40 near the 45 before he's brought down. So a nice return by Lake Fleming.
I want to welcome Adam Philpott, former student of mine at Gloucester High School, an outstanding student-athlete, both playing football and basketball. Adam, welcome.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Perfect night.
Former student of Tim Kearns, huh?
That's correct. So
it's like starting with two strikes against you, isn't it?
That's for sure.
Welcome to getting into the box and already got two strikes on you.
Not too late for a grade change, Adam.
Right away. It's a run play, and taking the handoff is Jake Athanas, the junior running back, off the handoff from quarterback Cosmo Palazzola. The offensive line has Ryan O'Connell at center, Jackson Rice and Andrew Hantazopoulos are the guards, Noah Rawson and Charlie McDowell are the tackles for Manchester Essex. In that backfield, Lake Fleming, or as a wideout Fleming, they've got a wideout each way, wings each way. And the quarterback out of a very short shotgun. They give us to Athanas again. He has a yard or two to the 48. The defense for Ipswich High School, their D-line up front, Blake Emerson, R.J. Bussing, Caleb Camo, and Peter Spinelli. The linebackers include Ben Yanakakis and Will Zambernardi. Those are outside linebackers, Jock Sideropoulos and Christian Fabri, the middle linebackers. We'll get the secondary for you in a minute. Third down short. Here is the quarterback, Palazzola, looking to throw, and he hands off at the last minute. Oh, it is the keeper, Palazzola, and he's taken down. No gain. So now it's fourth down here and about five. Just a last check on the Ipswich secondary, Justin Moran, Alex Broom, Matt Rugo, Tommy Heron, and Cameron James. And now it's time to punt, and Cameron punter is standing back at his 36, runs off over the 40, boots it away, and a nice roll for Manchester Essex down inside the 15. And so Ipswich will take over there deep in their own territory.
One thing I've noticed, Bill, looking at the Manchester Essex team right down in front of us, and we're very, very close to the sidelines here, is that neither team is very physically imposing. Not a lot of big kids throughout the entire roster on either team. We don't have the specs on the kids on their team roster sheets, but you don't see some of the really, really big kids you see in some of the other bigger programs.
Ipswich will start at their own 12. They have two quarterbacks that they work into the game, so we'll see who they have here. I believe this is Cameron James. This is James, the sophomore. We do not have heights or weights for either one of these teams here, but we do know that James, a sophomore, does look like he does have some height, 6 foot maybe plus, right up behind center. Spins, hands off to the halfback to the right side. That's Justin Moran, the sophomore. He gets a couple of yards.
That was a nice quick hitter for Ipswich there. Get something going straight up the gut. Get some positive yardage. Get out of the back of their end zone a little bit.
Yeah, from the 12, they work it out to the just over the 15, maybe about a 4. And second down here. Wideouts 2 to the far side right. Ipswich working right to left here in the first quarter. And quarterback tries to stuff it into the back, the running back, Pat Gillis, the senior. And Gillis goes down right away. That was a slow developing play, I would say.
That was a nice play by the end there, Lewandowski from Manchester. He looks like a kid with some size to him.
Third and long 7 for the Tigers.
Cameron James, their quarterback. Third down here from the just about the 15-yard line, so about a 3rd and 7. Takes the snap, options it out on the right side. This is Gillis turning the right corner. He falls forward up to the 20, but that'll be short of the first down unless he got the 22. I don't think he did. He may have the
Hansopoulos,
the linebacker, inside linebacker with the hit and the takedown.
You know, unfortunately, he wasn't closer to Pat Gillis, who laid out a beautiful lead block for him.
Ipswich going for it here. Fourth down and one for the Tigers. And they hand off inside. Is that Gillis? Or, that is Pat Gillis. Gillis might have a first down. It looks like he does. So he just dove it, veered it into the inside.
And that's enough.
And that's just enough for a first down.
Bold call there on Ipswich in their own end here early in the first quarter, but first game of the division, might want to take a few chances, I guess.
Yeah, a little gutsy call there by Coach Kevin Fazette from Ipswich. Deep, deep in his own territory, just outside his own 20, going for it on a fourth and one. So that sets up a first down. Here's a quick pass out on the right side off the arm of Cameron James. The catch is made and run to the right side.
Adam, that fourth and one play, you were involved in a number while you were playing in a cluster. That has to be a real quick hitter play.
That is
to
a quick,
gets the defense not ready.
Correct. That quarterback footworks are going to be quick because that fullback's right on his heels. It's going to be a bang-bang play, but they executed it well twice so far.
Gain of almost seven yards on a pass completion to Izzy Morrissey. So it's second down and three. Now they fumble in the backfield on the option, and the running back just covers it up, does Ipswich, and they hang on to it. Covering it up is Justin Moran, the sophomore, back at the 21.
Yeah, Moran was lucky as that ball bounced. It hit his knee and went behind him. That could have been truly disastrous.
6 minutes, 20 seconds to go, first quarter. Ipswich here and Manchester Essex. No score here on MSO New Sports. The big video game going on tonight up in Gloucester. Ipswich, I would check that Lynn Classical at Gloucester tonight. Little movement, quarterback keeps it, and James on the keeper hits it up to about the 26. Let's see what they call here. There was no whistle. There was some movement on the defensive side, but probably no contact. Now, if it was a call against the offense, they would have whistled it down, I would think. So we'll see what they... Definitely kind of a weird-looking play where no one reacted except for the quarterback, Cameron James, on the snap. Offside defense. So it'll be third down here.
Against the Hornets, five-yard penalty. Third down and about six.
Ball is down at the 27, and they have a third down and six to go. They're in four-down territory, though, I guess, Adam, here.
Yeah, I'd say so, judging by the way they're calling the game so far.
Yeah, 5:43 to play first quarter, deep in their own territory at the 27. So they can, if they don't make it on this one, they've got another down to go here. Two wideouts near side left for the quarterback, Cameron James. The sophomore rolls out to the left side, options it out, and they give it off to Gillis, and he steams up the left sidelines and up for the first down, out to midfield, taken down by Robbie Sarmanian, one of the secondary guys, just at midfield, and he'll get all the way into Manchester Essex territory to about the 48.
Looks like Ipswich is going no huddle here, speeding the game up a little bit. That was a good job by James on that option play. He saw the pitch that time. They had the fumble earlier. Good job.
Gillis, a big, strong running back here, too, huh? Number 44 for Ipswich. Tigers down on offense with 5:22 to go in the first quarter. Scoreless first quarter between Manchester Essex and the Hornets from Manchester Essex. Cameron options it off. Gillis, this time he goes to the right side, turns the corner, but doesn't. Oh, now the ball is loose, and I think Manchester Essex might have fallen on it unless they whistled it down.
It might have went out of bounds. Tough to see from here.
Far across the way, up, play all right around midfield. It doesn't appear as if the possession has changed here, and the ball is back now on the Ipswich side of the midfield line at their 48.
Looks like Gillis is the workhorse of this backfield.
Second down at about 14 for the Tigers. 13.
Wide out, one of them near side left here for Ipswich High School. Quarterback fakes the option and now cuts off right guard up to midfield, down to the 49. Maybe a two-yard gain.
By number 54, Noah Rawson.
Might have been a miscommunication there. I think it looked like he was holding a fake for a fullback to dive there. I'm not sure.
Third down and a short 12.
And even five to go. Ball right at midfield. They have 12 yards to go for the first down here on third down from right at the 50. working right to left. Ball hash mark right side, and now flag falls. Might have taken too much time here.
Klaus is on the offense against Lynn Classical at the Newell Stadium. Inside the Classical side of the field in about 25-yard line.
So just as Tim is watching the game, so can you by going to our post. But we don't want to lose you. You know, we'd love
to
have you stay here.
And just watch the game.
Yeah. You can multitask, you know, digitally.
Hey, that's something for me to do, huh?
Yeah, it's something for you to think about, Tim.
I'll be tripping over something pretty soon.
Yeah. So if there's... That's why Adam is here, because Tim is multitasking here.
And I'm bound to get lost in the technology.
Yeah, yeah. So the ball is pushed back to the Ipswich 45, so now they've got a third down and good 17 to go for the Tigers. 4.5 to play first quarter, scoreless game. They've got the black uniforms, the orange trim. Here's a pitch play out on the left side. The running back is taken down. Great hit there by Robbie Sarmanian coming in. Gillis, the ball carrier.
That was a real nice job by Sarmanian coming up there, making a play on the ball behind the line. The defensive end did his job in the option. He took the quarterback, lets the linebacker come in and clean up the pitch.
Cameron James, the quarterback, also is the punter here for Ipswich. So he is standing back inside his own 30. To receive the snap back deep for Manchester Essex's Lake Fleming. Fleming standing back at his 25. Snaps a bit low. James fields it though. Right foot goes into the ball, nails it down over midfield, down inside the 30, rolling to the 24 and wobbling to a stop there. With 3:43 to play first quarter, Manchester Essex will get their hands back on the football for the second time here tonight.
Manchester will begin first and 10.
And the first entry 25. Of the morning in the scoreboard has St. Mary's leading Cardinals. Spelman 14-0 in the first period, first quarter. They started at 6:30 as opposed to everybody else at 7:30. So in Moynihan Lumber, for all of your construction needs, in Beverly, North Andover, and...
No, North Reading.
North Reading. And Plastow, New Hampshire.
Palazzolo rolling, giving it off to Athanas. And Athanas is hit right away. Peter Spinelli credited with a tackle for Ipswich.
Great job by Spinelli there. Manchester tried to get a jet sweep to the corner, but Spinelli did a good job holding the edge there from his end spot.
Looks like 1 yard second on the negative side of things. Quarterback Palazzola out of the shotgun. Looks left this time. A right arm toss out there. Out to Fleming, I believe. Has the catch at the 30. Up to maybe the 31.
Leave it to number 2, Lake Fleming.
That's a short gainer.
Down by number 88, Alex Brum.
A lot of east to west from Manchester so far. Let's see if they can get something going north-south here.
You've seen a lot of that tonight, haven't we? Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful field here. Doyon Field here at Jack Welch Stadium. Just a beautiful new complex here, relatively new. They've got two wideouts near side right, does Manchester Essex. That's where Palazzola rolls. Now fires up over the middle to the right. Passes batted down, incomplete. Good defensive play there by... Ipswich is, actually, I don't see who that is. Maybe that was,
88
it was 88, okay.
Number 82, Tommy Heron.
So that was a great play by Broom.
Yeah. Incomplete pass. Clearly there, the defender broke that pass up. The pass looked good. The receiver was running this pattern. It's just that the defender was there. So now Manchester Essex will punt. Punter standing back at his 17 to receive the snap. Another great punt from left to right. Lands inside the 30, hops around inside the 25, and is touched there by the Hornets at about the 22, where it'll start there, where Ipswich will start, with 2:12 to play first quarter, scoreless game.
Yeah, Jackson Rice hustled down there and prevented that from reversing back up the field. A lot of good hustle on that play.
Manchester's partner's doing a great job of switching field position. That was
a
boomer.
Ipswich offense out onto the field. I think we have Tommy Herron coming split end out near side left here. One of the ends, two of them out there. See, and it's still the quarterback is Cameron James. The pass goes out that way to Herron, and he makes the catch. It's a very short gainer. Again, more of this east-west stuff here.
Yep.
Tackled out of bounds at number 55, Ryan O'Connell.
O'Connell, a linebacker, making the tackle on the sidelines. Gain of almost 5 yards here, so it'll be second down for Ipswich. Again, they've got the wideouts to the near side left. Morrissey out there, as well as Herron. And the quarterback, James, right up behind center. Back split behind him. Doesn't hand off. Passes to the over the middle. The quick pass and the catch is made up at the 40. Running receiver gets all the way down to the 49-yard line. Christian Fabry, the receiver, the big tight end, just running a down pattern off, set up off the right side, and he gets it down to the 48.
Oh, that ball was released perfectly on time and perfectly out in front of the receiver where the defender couldn't reach in and make a play.
Very similar. This offense is similar to one that maybe Bill Hamer might have run out of Beverly many years ago, back with the divide backfield and the occasional pass to the tight end. This is a handoff to Justin Moran, the sophomore, charging ahead for about 5 yards from the 48 down to the 43, about a 5-yard gain.
Moran was met early there, almost at the line of scrimmage, but he looks like a big kid out there. He powered forward for another 3 yards.
Yeah, that's a good point there. I think he dragged a defender with him for a yard or two. Second down, quarterback options it out on the right side. Here's Gillis turning the right corner. Hit at the 40, probably stopped short of the first down, but this will set up a third down and short. Rice in on the tackle. Now 1 minute to go in the first quarter of this scoreless football game between Ipswich and Manchester Essex. Ball placed down at the 39. Wide outs this time, one each way for Ipswich. Quarterback James, the sophomore, right up behind center, calls the signals, hands off inside. Moran. He might have the yard plus that he needs for the first down. Have they moved the chains ahead?
58, Charlie McDowell.
Well, the down marker went ahead, but they haven't moved the chains ahead.
Yeah.
There we go. It is a first down. Finally moving the chains along. Got to give the chains guys credit. I mean, until they tell you to go ahead, you know, don't go ahead. Although it did appear that he clearly had the first down by a yard to spare. Here's Gillis taking the option, turns the right corner. He drags a tackler for a yard or two to the 35. That was a very tough yard or two for Gillis.
Gillis and Moran both showing good power out of the backfield for Ipswich.
Once they turn up field, they're keeping the shoulders square.
Yep.
And just using the leg power to drive forward.
All right, quarter has come to an end here. It's scoreless at the end of one. Manchester, Ipswich, Manchester, Essex, and Ipswich scoreless at the end of one quarter here on MSO News Sports.
The Bradford Tavern in Raleigh is unique, with modern touches in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, the freshest seafood, and many quality daily specials. Serving lunch and dinner, the Bradford Tavern is open Tuesday through Sunday, 11:30 a.m. to midnight, closed Mondays. The restaurant features two separate function rooms ideal for every need, including business meetings, bridal and baby showers, or any special event. The Bradford Tavern is located at 87 Haverhill Street, Route 133 in Raleigh, and online at bradfordtavern.com.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our three locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
MSONewsports.com. MSO Radio.
Welcome back to Ipswich. I'm Bill Newell along with Tim Kearns, the multitasking Tim Kearns, and Adam Philpott, who has just honed in and focused on his job here tonight here beside me. And we have the Ipswich football now in the second quarter headed to left to right. Ball placed down just inside the 35, and looks like they've moved before the snap of the football. They had a second down and seven, picking it up from the approximately the 34. Procedure call against Ipswich. So no score in the first quarter between these two clubs. Teams have battled closely in the last couple of years, these two squads. Manchester Essex coach Hutton was telling Rick Moore in the pregame interview that they have not won within the conference, didn't win last year, but they do have the two wins earlier this year. Does Manchester Essex against Northeast and Essex Tech, losing on the road. I shouldn't say on the road, on the island at Nantucket. On the road, on the seas, and beyond. Cameron, the handoff inside, short gainer to about the about a 5 yard gain down to the 35. Moran, the ball carrier, sophomore running back, sophomore quarterback.
Ipswich has controlled the ball most of this game, and a lot of the Manchester guys are going both ways. You wonder how many dives at Moran is going to wear these guys down throughout the game.
Yeah, a lot of these guys obviously go both ways on these clubs. Again, it's Moran off the right side of the line, just a quick handoff, a straight ahead run. About 3 yards. What do you get? 54. Almost 4 yards on the play. But this will set up a fourth down and maybe about 4 yards to go. They had that penalty that pushed them back. That hurt them. But they went for a fourth down and one way back at their own about 21 earlier in tonight's game than the first quarter. Got it. So here they are in Manchester Essex territory at their 31 in four down territory. Long count by Cameron. Now he stands up and looks back over at the bench across the way. The Ipswich bench is across the way from the press box here in front of the home the stands. Once the field has stands on one side here in Ipswich. And over here on the near side is the press box plus the Manchester Essex stands. Quick pass out on the left side. The catch is made there by Morrissey. Back behind the line of scrimmage, I think, and then run ahead to about the 30. To the 30, and I think that's very close to a first down, if it's not quite a first down, is it? Nope, going the other way.
Looked like Tommy Heron, the receiver for Ipswich, which is shaken up there. He limped off, took a big hit from the Manchester DB, so hope he's all right.
Hornets calling a timeout here, I believe, as they come up out of their huddle, out of the line of scrimmage. All right, timeout Ipswich.
In Gloucester, Keith Ridley hit Sean Butler in stride on the post pad in 45-yard pass.
Yeah.
And we know Ridley can throw that ball. You've seen that already this year.
Well, we saw Ridley last week in all that wind and mist and stuff, and he couldn't do a lot. And but nobody did a lot that Friday night last week with the wind. But he has had some good games, the two previous games. Manchester Essex on a run play, kind of like a rugby scrum as the ball advances over the 30 to about the 32. Everybody piled up there. If Tim wasn't on his devices here, he would have gone out and piled up on that. That was the way that developed.
Yeah, if I was piled on that, they wouldn't be getting up as quick as they
Yeah, did. Yeah. Watch out, guys. Here I come.
Yeah.
Oh, we're in the fourth quarter now? Oh, okay. Palazzolo, the quarterback, spins, hands off. Running back coming back to the near side. This is Athanas out to the 37, 38.
Jake Athanas.
Tackle there made by Brum. Alex Brum, the tackler, cornerback.
First and 10 Hornets.
There Manchester finally able to get out to the corner there. Get a first down. Let's see if they can get some momentum going.
Ball placed down at the 39-yard line, where it is first down. Palazzolo from the shotgun this time. Spins, does not hand off, rolls out to the right side, puts the ball up in the air out on the right side. It's incomplete. Intended there for Sarmanian, the senior. Second down, 8.5 minutes to play, first half.
Well, there's a couple of names on this Manchester Essex roster, Athanas and Palazzolo, who have a long story tradition of participation in football for that team.
No, you're right, and there's a number of those, yeah. Second down, 9. And it's Athanas taking the hand of the pitch, turns the right corner out to the 45, pushed out of bounds. There's a flag down. This what you would appear could be on Ipswich, maybe a late hit or a face mask or who knows what it is. But if so, it'll give the Manchester Essex Hornets a first down because they're 3 yards short of the first down, and they're ready to mark off some additional yardage, it appears, against Ipswich. Ball will come over midfield. 15-yard penalty.
Dead ball, foul, personal foul. Late hit
personal foul. 15-yard
penalty.
Ball goes all the way down to the 39, where it'll be a first down in Ipswich territory for the Hornets.
Yeah, that's an expensive penalty. You stop the advance of the first down, and then a little over-exuberance, he's already out of bounds, and you come in with a hit like that.
Well, there's a big break there for the Hornets. And after a nice play, Lake Fleming, a wide out to the right side. We'll keep an eye on him. Palazzola, though, options it out on the left side to Sarmanian. Turns the corner down to the 35 to the 32. So he has a decent gainer there. He'll be short of the first down, but only by about 3 yards. 7 yard gain.
Nice run by Sarmanian there. Let's see. Second and short. It's a nice opportunity to maybe try to take a shot on a pass here.
Second and three for the Hornets.
Lewandowski is slotted out to the right side, or tight to the right side. Now Athanas goes in motion up high. Palazzola hands off back inside, and it's Sarmanian, the ball carrier. Looks like he has enough for the first down, down near the 26.
Brought down by number 82, Tommy Heron.
Heron in the secondary, credited with the tackle there, back at the 26-yard line.
And quickly, courtesy of the Moynihan scoreboard, Hamilton Wenham is up over Amesbury 14-0. Against St. Mary's, still 14-0 over Cardinal Spelman. And Glenn Classical over Gloucester, 7-0.
Actually, some very interesting games tonight in the Cape Ann League. Maybe we can talk about them at the half here. Handoff. Athanas lost the football as he went inside the 25, but I think they've covered it up down at the 22. Athanas was lined up right, came around behind the quarterback, took the handoff, and then hit off the left side of the line. Then the ball went out of his hands, it appeared, but he covers it up down at the 22. So it'll be a second down here and 6.
Athanas got real fortunate there. The ball seemed to bounce right back to his chest.
Yeah, it was like a chest pass to himself there.
Dodged the bullet there.
You don't see that often in football, but there it was. Wide outs one each way here for quarterback Palazzola, but he hands off inside, opener, and some yardage there for Sarmanian. He's inside the 15, all the way down near the 10. Let's see if he's got the 10. Ball might be resting right on the 10-yard line, where it'll be a first down.
Yeah, they're going to put the sticks down, so we'll have first and goal.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like the nose of the football. Well, it looks like the football is actually resting right across the 10-yard line there. So that'll be a first and goal for the Hornets. This is the deepest anyone has gotten in tonight's game so far into the so-called red zone here. Lake coming out near side left is a wide out. Lewandowski out to the right side, or actually now Athanas out to the right side, and a timeout. Probably a good timeout here by Ipswich with 6:16 to play in the first quarter, in the second quarter rather, and no score.
Well, the game is moving quickly apace as there's only been a handful of passes. Both teams choosing to keep the ball for the majority of the time on the ground.
Yep, Manchester finally able to get some push on that offensive line there, drive the defense back, get some positive plays going north-south between the tackles here.
Last night in North Shore football, Marblehead with a big 30-0 win over Beverly. Peabody picked up their first win, a 21-0 shutout over Revere. Swampscott all over Salem last night to remain undefeated. Reading top Belmont, Arlington over Woburn, and Stoneham beat Wakefield. Now, Lynn English is playing at Saugus tomorrow afternoon. Now, let's say they win that game. I think they'd be favored in that game. They would show up next Saturday, a week from tomorrow, at Swampscott. Both teams undefeated in an MSO game. I think it's slated for 2:30. So that'll be one of the big games next week, potentially, would be, no matter really what happens to English tomorrow, it would be the Saugus Lynn English game. Palazzola on the direct snap, hands off, and Sarmanian, the ball carrier. They started at the 10. Where'd they get to? Maybe the 3 or 2. So a nice gainer by Sarmanian. We'll call it the 3. So it'll be second down and goal from the 3-yard line for the Hornets.
Sarmanian, the senior captain, has really been the bell cow for them this drive.
Offensive line, Ryan O'Connell, a junior at center. Andrew Hansopoulos, a guard, a senior. Jackson Rice, a senior guard. And now wideouts one each way. The give is to Sarmanian again, and he's into the end zone for a touchdown.
Robbie Sarmanian, touchdown Hornets.
And we've just got our first score of the game here. Essex, Manchester Essex scoring with 5:37 to play in the second quarter. Point after kick here by Manchester Essex. Anna Zarilli up, and it is good. So Zarilli hits the point after kick.
5:37 left in the second quarter. The score.
And it is 7-0, Manchester Essex.
Yes.
Good response from Manchester after a little bit of a sluggish start there. Get a nice drive going before the half, put 7 on the board. Let's see how Ipswich responds.
So a 3-yard run by Robbie Sarmanian of Manchester Essex produces the game's first touchdown of the night. That was a good point after kick there by Anna Zarelli.
We need to find out if she's any relationship to Gloucester head coach Tony Zarelli.
Right. Adam Roy will kick off for...
Kicking off for the Hornets, number 30.
Oh, wait a minute here. Maybe it's Campbell kicking off. Ball will be in the air from right to left. And... it is coming down at the 25-yard line, fielded there by Gillis, and he gets up to the 35, and then he's slammed back over the 30. So the Gus Campbell kickoff doesn't get a big kickoff return. And Ipswich finds themselves down here with 5:27 to play till halftime here. See where they put the football down. I guess it'd be at the 32.
Well, I'll see if can basically of this drive get themselves back back on level terms with Manchester Essex.
Yeah, ball out to the 33-yard line. Two wideouts going out near side right. Quarterback, is it still? Make sure it's Cameron James out there for Ipswich. They could use a different quarterback as well. From times, they option it out off to the right side. Ball carried out to the 45-yard line. Ball carrier is Pat Gillis.
He just looks for the contact. He doesn't try to avoid it.
Right,
he sees it and he just lowers it.
He's felt like a Mack truck down there.
He lowers the shoulder and he just took on the Manchester Essex defensive back. And it was the defensive back that actually went backwards.
So we do have another quarterback in there. Looks like number 10.
Okay, it is. So it's Yannakakis. So Benjamin Yannakakis is in quarterbacking. He's got the ball at the 46-yard line where it'll be first down. Yannakakis is not quite as tall. He's a junior. Cameron James, the quarterback that started, is a sophomore, a little bit taller. And Justin Moran is the halfback offset to his right side, and Yannakakis calls the signals. And fakes the handoff. Quick pass over the middle. Man open. Incomplete. Oh, man. Down the middle. The ball was intended there for Fabry. And he just could not hang on to it. A well-designed play for the tight end who caught one earlier in the game. When they're going back to that play. And just like James threw a good football, Yannakakis threw a very nice football.
Manchester got lucky there. That just looked like a case of being too open almost.
Yeah.
Too much time.
The ball had some zip on it, but, you know, definitely a catchable ball. They optioned it off to Gillis, sweeping the left side this time. And he's got some big yardage. Down the left sidelines, 10, 20. All the way down to the 30, to the 25-yard line, another first down. Gillis came right with a big play a moment ago. That time he goes far side left for a big play.
He showed a real good knack for reading his lead blocks, Adam.
Yeah.
You notice he lets that guy, that lead guy, get the outside man and then reads whether he can go inside or outside. And when he sees that opening, he just blasts through it.
Yeah, he looks real strong early on.
Tight talking about Pat Gillis, the senior running back for Ipswich. Ball placed down at the 25-yard line. They've got a first down in Manchester Essex territory. This is Moran, I believe, the ball carrier.
Ball carrier number five, Justin Moran.
To the 20, a gain of five. 4:40 to go.
Right down by number 62, 52. Andrew Hansoplich.
Izzy Morrissey, wide out, far side left. They're waiting for the play to get called in from the sidelines. Benjamin Yannikakis in quarterbacking Ipswich. This is his first series for the Tigers. He does have Moran in the backfield behind him. What are they running out of the eye right there? And he comes out to the right side, options it off to Gillis. Gillis starts around the right end, now cuts back to the middle. He's to the 20. He's still a ways away from a first down. This will set up a third down.
I'll tell you what, Yannikakis got crushed on that play by Lewandowski, the defensive end there on the pitch play. But he's hanging in there. Got right back up.
All right, they've got a third and two just inside the 20, maybe down to the 18 or 17-yard line. Yannikakis now steps back out from behind center. He's right up behind his center, Aiden McAdams. Backs are divided behind him. One wide out, far side left. Quick pass out to the right side, incomplete. Ball was tipped. I don't know if that was Jackson Lewandowski, the linebacker, putting a hand on that football. Does a quick kind of pass along the line of scrimmage. A snap, then boom, a bullet out to the right side by Yannikakis. But it almost looked like Lewandowski got a hand on it, the big linebacker coming in. Deflecting that ball, 3:25 to play, first half. Manchester Essex leading by the 7-0 score. Ipswich with the football. Again, a long count. It's fourth down here in two. Ball placed down right about at the 17 or so. Again, Yannikakis goes behind center and now pops back up. Doing some consulting here. Long count. Yannikakis gives it off to Moran. He scraps and battles for that first down stake, but I don't know that he has it. We'll see what this. That was on fourth down play. They put it right at the 15. It is a first down. All right, Ipswich got a first down here. And so now this is as deep as they have been. So give Moran credit, the sophomore. Good gutsy running there. Puts the ball down at the 15-yard line. Just enough for the first down for the Tigers, trailing in this by a touchdown. Quick pass this time out to the left side. The catch is made by Morrissey. Spins upfield down to the 11. That's probably about a 4-yard gain. I look at those passes, Adam, and I think they're dangerous. You know what I mean? I don't know why I do, but I just... You know what I mean? Those passes right along the line of scrimmage in the backfield. Mm-hmm.
They went to the wide side of the field there, too. It just takes a long time to develop, and he had no blocking out there.
Yeah.
Can get dicey.
But they're nice looking when they work, like that one just did there. There's Yannikakis on the keeper. Looks like he's diving it down inside the 10, maybe to the 9. Let's see. They've got a third down here. Can't tell if that's about a third and four. Yeah, third and four.
Possibly five.
Tigers in four down territory. Again, Yannikakis spending a lot of time checking, rechecking, then rechecking again the play call from the sidelines.
You don't see that too often in the high school level. A lot of teams like to work out of the huddle, go to the sideline and get the play, but Ipswich has been effective so far running it.
So here's the third down and short situation. Yannikakis hands off inside. That's Moran. Moran may have enough for the first down. Let's see what he's got. It'll be a first and goal. No, they're not saying it's a first down yet. So they're very close to a first down. So it's fourth down here and inches to go. Ball right in the middle of the field now. Down inside the 10. Down near the 6. And again, a surge. Could have been a keeper that time.
Paul Carver, number 10, Ben Yannakakis.
Now, Manchester Essex says they stopped him, but Ipswich says Caleb Camo, offensive tackle, says they got the first down. Let's see where they put the football down.
Interesting play call there with Yannakakis being on the smaller side, and you have Moran and Gillis in the backfield there. Two bigger guys, you might want to think they would pound the rock in.
All right, so it's hard to tell exactly what yard where the ball is here. It must be, we'll call it the four? Yeah, four-yard line. And the quarterback, Yannakakis, charges down to the one. So Yannakakis puts it right near the goal line on the first down run, first and goal. So now it's second down and goal, hash mark right side. They're trying to punch it into the end zone to our right. Just less than a minute to go here. So they've got to watch the clock here as well here, but they do have time. In that backfield, Pat Gillis is in there as well. Pat Gillis is a bull. He's got a lot of the yards here in this last drive. Down to 42 seconds, and a timeout, I think, has been called by Ipswich. Ipswich should be careful here with the clock because working it well, they're not in any danger here, but they definitely can get a couple of snaps off here. But we have a timeout called here with 39 seconds to play in the first half.
Well, the Moynihan scoreboard, Gloucester has now fallen behind 14-0 to Lynn Classical as Keith Ridley has punched it in from 5 yards out. And it appears that Gloucester has been stopped deep inside Classical territory on a fourth down. Yep, they've just switched balls, so Classical will be taking over.
Wow.
In the second quarter.
I know you said that Classical was fast. That's going to be a tough team to contain on turf, Classical.
Yeah.
They've always had speed, and they always do well in the passing game. So
I remember the first time Gloucester went over to Malden Catholic and played St. Mary's of Lynn on that turf field.
Yeah.
And Gloucester had a fast. They had a fast. I can't remember. It'll come to me in a minute who the running backs were. And, I mean, it was like adding 15-20%.
Oh, for sure. There is a difference between the grass and the turf.
All right, second down and goal to go. Ball right at the one-yard line. And Moran is the running back right up behind the quarterback. And also Gillis is there. And a flag goes down. Ipswich says they're in. And that could have been Yannakakis running it in. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that area is definitely holding. It was the back judge that threw the flag looking directly in the middle of that line where the play went.
Oh, yeah, they're marking it off against Ipswich from the one. Now the time, 36.5 seconds to go.
That's going to bother Coach Vassette just a little bit, getting down on the goal line there.
Oh, they mark it all the way out to the 15, a 15-yard penalty.
Wow.
So what was the major penalty? What was the indication? You guys catch it?
No.
Yeah, it didn't even look like there was enough time for anything egregious to happen.
That's a strange one. So a 15-yard penalty on a dive inside from the one-yard line puts the ball all the way back out to the 16-yard line for Ipswich. Quarterback Yannakakis with the team down, looks to pass this time, puts it in the air right side, into the end zone, incomplete.
He had it. He had it, and then on the defensive hit by
Tommy Herron, incomplete.
Trying to think who, 88 again, maybe for Manchester Essex,
30.
Tommy Herron was the intended receiver.
And number 30 for Manchester Essex.
Gus Campbell
came up and had a good hit on him. He had the ball in his hands, extended up above his head, and just a solid hit by Campbell broke it loose.
Well, these Ipswich quarterbacks have had a couple of passes that could have possibly been caught here tonight, would have made things look a little bit different. Now fourth down and goal from the 16, roll out left side, the pass is swatted down, knocked down by Ryan O'Connell, the outside linebacker. Now 27.3 seconds to play.
Fourth and goal.
And so here is fourth down.
From the 16.
Ball is placed down at the 16-yard line. Hash mark near side right. Ipswich getting one more crack at it here with just 27 seconds to go in the first half. Well, this will be quite a stop for the Hornets if they pull this one off here against Ipswich. Yannakakis out rolling left, looking for a pass down to the left side. Too high. Now there's a flag. And this will be, looks like it's a defensive foul.
Yeah, I definitely think that's going to be defensive pass interference there on Tommy Herron.
You know, the unfortunate part of that was an uncatchable ball and right over his head. And
it was high. It looks like Manchester's coach is trying to signal for that it was uncatchable. That's a good call. It certainly did look high, Tim.
Yeah, and first and goal, I guess the tough thing is judging, you know, whether it was a catchable ball or not. You know, if the interference keeps him from making an attempt to get to the ball.
They've got a first and goal here, does Ipswich.
Right back where they started.
Yeah, are they back at the one? Here is they hand off inside of to Gillis to the goal line. Doesn't go.
Pat Gillis.
Well, 14 seconds.
You know, I think the last set of downs, they went with the quarterback trying to push it in there, and then
timeout,
you know, the next time you get the next chance, the opportunity you get, it almost makes sense for the defense. They're going to go to the big back, so they probably just they were keying on Gillis getting that ball. He was met squarely at the line, and maybe even behind the line.
All right, so the ball is resting. It looked like that last snap was maybe from the two. This one, they put the ball down right outside the goal line. That's where Gillis brought it to. So now it'll be a second down and goal right on the goal line with 12.2 seconds to go.
Second down and goal.
You've got Moran in the backfield, and they fumble. And it looks like the Hornets have recovered the football.
Recovered by the Hornets.
Oh, man.
Looks like they tried to catch him off guard with a quick snap, but might have just gone too quick. They weren't exactly set and ball ended up on the turf.
Yeah, they were. Give Manchester Essex credit because the defense, once the ball was snapped, they were in that backfield right away.
Gloucester has now fallen behind 21-0. It's going to be an epic comeback if they do manage to win this game in Gloucester.
I have to say, Gloucester has really kind of overachieved a little bit this year, considering with some of the going into the season, what some folks thought, but I give them a lot of credit for what they do. On first down, Manchester Essex takes over, run it to the right side. That will do it for the first half.
And that's the end of the first half.
One score. Looks like we thought we were going to get another one to get a game a little bit closer, but it was a 3-yard Robbie Sarmanian second quarter run for Manchester Essex, giving the Hornets a 7-0 lead here at the half against Ipswich. We'll all be back just ahead here, so stay with us here on MSONewsSports.com. KPAN League Baker Division matchup tonight, Manchester Essex versus Ipswich. And again, the Hornets are leading 7-0 at the half.
Stronger, faster, tougher. When you need the MVP of community banks, look no further than the Institution for Savings, with 14 full-service offices throughout the North Shore. We have MVP rates and an all-star team to serve you. Bank from the ball field with our 24/7 online application apps, internet banking, mobile deposits, and more. Institution for Savings, your winning team. Visit institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student-athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our three locations, in Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Get the skills you need to be a leader in sports and recreation. A master's in athletic administration from Endicott's Van Loan School prepares students for careers in schools, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, sports governing bodies, private sports clubs, and more. Van Loan's athletic administration master's program is 100% online with affordable tuition. Try a class before fully enrolling. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/athleticadmin today.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
MSONewsSports.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at MSONewsSports or on Facebook. And you can always email us at MSONewsSports@gmail.com.
Welcome back to Ipswich. I'm Bill Newell along with Tim Kearns and Adam Philpott here from Ipswich High School at the Jack Welch Stadium, Doyon Field, where Ipswich has just concluded what turns out to be a very frustrating half for them. They had a first and goal. No, it wasn't a first and goal, but they had the ball at the one. They had a goal to go at the one, a second down and goal to go at the one, where they had the penalty with about a minute to play in the first half. A 15-yard penalty moved it back out to the 16. Then they get a pass interference call against Manchester Essex that puts the ball back down near the 2-yard line. They get it to the 1-yard line and basically get it to the goal line, the nose of the football just outside the goal line. And then they snap it and fumble it and lose possession of the ball, where they had a couple of cracks to probably try to put it in from just outside the goal line. And they can't do it. So capital F for frustrating, I think, here for Ipswich here in the final moments of the first half.
Yeah, it's got to be you have two opportunities, and that's a ghost penalty. I mean, neither of us saw the call that threw the flag. And for Coach Frizzette, he's like, you know, what are we going to do here to get points on the board? And then to have the fumble on the second opportunity from inside the 2-yard line just compounds that frustration. Able to move the ball between the 20s, just can't complete the drive. And for Manchester Essex, again, they were between the 20s early on, and they managed to get that one drive. They got a couple of big plays, got it down and close, and finish it off. And that's the whole key to your football team, is being able to finish those drives.
Bill Newell.
Adam is watching closely the Ipswich halftime meeting there.
What are you psychically involved in that, Adam? Are you just keeping an eye on
looks
things?
Looks like Gillis is having a talk with his coach there.
Yeah.
He might be looking for some more touches the way he's been running.
Yeah.
But I will say Ipswich has also had some missed opportunities in the passing game as well. So
yeah, that's another thing too. And again, Adam, I'm going back to one thing you said earlier, and they were getting more snaps of the football against Manchester Essex earlier in this in the first half. But Manchester Essex basically had the one big drive, and they actually got aided by, speaking of a penalty, they got aided by, they had a nice run getting them up to midfield. Then there was a 15-yard penalty, and all of a sudden they have the ball down at the 35 of Ipswich, and they were able to punch it in from there, finishing up the drive. So give the Hornets credit for being opportunistic and capitalizing on that drive. And you know, I think Ipswich really, you know, they had mistakes. I remember reading about Coach Fassett, what happened up in Newburyport. I think they had some turnovers and mistakes there. And that was kind of a tough loss for them there. But some of that's continuing. But they've had a bunch of injuries and illnesses and things, so they're getting things back. So maybe the half will be a turning point. Obviously, it's a clear focal point for them, being able to pick out the good things that they've done, but also identifying what needs to be corrected, too.
Well, one of the things is they're only down 7.
Right.
Yeah.
One score gets you, you're right back in the ball game. So there's just minor things that you have to correct. You know, holding on to that ball. Get a grip. If you've got it if you catch it, grip it, and secure the ball as fast as you can. That, again, two or three passes that were open for big gainers, and one was a touchdown.
Right.
And they haven't made those plays, and you know those guys are thinking about that. And the worst thing you can do in playing any sport is think about that last play where you didn't make the play, because it's gonna condemn you to miss it again.
Exactly.
Because now you're gonna overcompensate, and that never works. And I want to go back to something you said during the second quarter, and you said that a lot of the kids from Manchester Essex are going both ways. Mm-hmm. Now, a couple of the teams that you played on in Gloucester, the 09 and 10 teams, had small squads.
Correct. Yeah.
And especially your senior year, you guys would play offense, and if you punted it away, you turned around and played defense.
Right.
There were out of the 22 positions, 19 were played by seniors.
Correct, yep.
And so Coach is really his first year after coaching and retired in 2010, looked at three returning players who contributed during that season. I mean, you guys had a lot of third and fourth quarters off because you guys were just so dominant that year. But still, the overall skill level of those guys coming back wasn't where you guys were at, because you guys had been there 4 years. You had gone through the system. You know, you ran two undefeated seasons off in a row.
Yeah.
Which was just phenomenal. And your 4 years, as many people in Gloucester know, you guys went 50-2.
Uh-huh.
And your two losses were in 08, and you lost to Swampscott.
Right.
And then you lost the Super Bowl.
Yes.
You know, and that was just one of the most talented teams I had ever seen.
The Duxbury team,
That you lost. And they had four kids going to Division I, mm-hmm. three for football, one was going to Iowa,
yep.
the running back, and the wide receiver was going to Notre Dame to play lacrosse.
Right.
You know, and, I mean, that was just one of the most physically dominant. But you guys played well, especially in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys came back in that game. But you had three undefeated seasons in 4 years. I mean, I think that'll go unmatched in this particular North Shore area for a long, long time. But you guys went both ways.
Mm-hmm.
How tough was it for you guys, again, knowing that once your offensive series was over, you had to go back out there or just turn around and play defense?
Right. It definitely is tough at times, and a lot of it goes back to the preparation that you put in, you know, in the summer before the season. We did a lot of work in the mornings with Coach Ladoff running to get in that physical condition where you would be able to go four quarters both ways. And you really have to stay mentally focused. It's easy when you're tired to check out for a play, but that play can be the difference in a game, especially with some of the teams that we played against. The Lynn Classicals were always tough. Lynn English was always tough. And there were close games. Our senior night game against Lynn Classical was 14-7 game, and we won on a missed snap that went over his head. So that game could have gone either way as well. So you definitely, for how many guys that we had going both ways, we really had to stay locked in for the full four quarters.
The Coach Ingham was such a great organizer, it would seem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to be in order to produce that kind of winning percentage over a four-year span, and the consistency of the effort on the part of the players.
Right.
To buy into the system and do the things that were necessary to bring that level of play to the field every week. Because you guys were talented, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But you also played against a lot of very talented teams.
For sure, yeah.
You know?
I would say Coach Ingram, the one word I can use, is meticulous. With his game planning, as much preparation as we did as the players, he did just as much, if not more, to get us ready for the games. Mm-hmm. And he was a huge part of that success. I mean, when you look at his tenure there, you're not going to find many coaches around the area that have had as much success as he has when he was there.
Hey, yeah. I got a couple of scores here from the Cape Ann League. Hamilton went up on Amesbury at the half, 28-6. Masconomet up on Pawtucket, 21-0 at the half as well. And Triton is leading North Reading over at North Reading at the half, 14-7. Newburyport does have a bye week this week. And so those are some of the scores that we have in the Cape Ann League. I guess that's all the games. Those are all very interesting games. Triton North Reading game, looking at Masco, they're moving on. So it appears in Hamilton Wenham. So there you go. All those scores being brought to you tonight by the Moynihan Lumber Company of Beverly, North Reading, and Plastow, New Hampshire. Moynihan Lumber, check out their kitchen cabinet showrooms and, of course, all their building supplies as well. Moynihan Lumber. See if we've got anything else just in. Nope, that's about it. And the Gloucester game's still 21-0. Are they at the half yet, Tim?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Green ticket. 071.
Well, Manchester Essex.
6028.
Where did they go? They must have ditched off one of the side. Ipswich stayed green on the field down in the far corner to our right. They're ready to go to start the second half. So we're just actually what we need to do is take a quick break. And when we come back, we will have the second half here from Ipswich with a score Manchester Essex 7, Ipswich nothing. We're at the half here on MSONewsSports.com.
Get the skills you need to be a leader in sports and recreation. A master's in athletic administration from Endicott's Van Loan School prepares students for careers in schools, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, sports governing bodies, private sports clubs, and more. Van Loan's athletic administration master's program is 100% online with affordable tuition. Try a class before fully enrolling. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/athleticadmin today.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Here from North Shore Newsmakers with two new shows on MSO. Thursdays, it's Connections. And Friday, Trending Now. And for our latest newscast and interviews, click on the 24/7 radio button on the top left of our webpage.
Well, we're back in Ipswich. Bill Newell here, along with Tim Kearns and Adam Philpott. And so, well, Adam, you've been most recently of any of us in a halftime conversation with a coach. Mm-hmm. So, what do you think Ipswich coaching staff talked about with the players at the half?
I would have to imagine that Coach Brissett really pointed out that Ipswich did have success moving the football up the field. I think a big talking point for him would have been mitigating those penalties. They had a couple costly 15-yard personal fouls, and then again protecting the football. They coughed it up on the one-yard line towards the end of the half there. So I think those are really the 2 points that he hit on coming out of the second half.
Tim, do you have Fenwick playing tonight? Did you see a score on that? I thought I heard a score from you on that. I didn't know they were.
No, they're tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
At Arlington Catholic.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. Sometimes we just have random thoughts going between us here, Adam. See how that works? See how that works?
Speaking of random, my innocuous score of the night, my tribute to Beverly former AD Jim Coffey, Falmouth Yachtsman, 21. Here's the team. Messalonsky,
wow,
14.
Well, that's not a surprise. I got to give them credit, yeah. Messalonsky.
They're in the game. They're hanging in there.
They're the Lobsters. They're one of 35 schools in the state of Maine that have Lobsters as their mascot. So, I wonder if there is one. There must be one.
We get nasty emails because you call them a lobster, and they're not.
Kickoff there for Manchester Essex. Gus Campbell fielded there by Gillis. 30, 35, 40. I think it's Gillis out to the 39. So Gillis came out of the pack. Not Gillis.
For retirement number 40, Izzy Morrissey.
Izzy Morrissey on the return.
Went down by number 30, Gus Campbell.
Got half the number right. Both run very, very strong. It'll be a first down for the Tigers at their 38.
Looks like Coach Brissett's going to go with Yannikakis to start quarterback at this half. He did a good job towards the end moving the ball there. So,
all right, so he's there right up behind center. Two wideouts near side left. Little sense of urgency in the step of the Ipswich Tigers as they take the field here in the second half, trailing 7-0. Here's a run play. This is Moran. Big hole up to midfield. Down to the 40, down to the 35. Big, big play. We've had a number of big plays. Not home run kind of plays, but we've had 15, 20-yard plays. But that was one right there for Justin Moran.
And again, the key, you can have all you want between the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not finishing,
right,
you're on the wrong end of the scoreboard.
First down at the 38 of Manchester Essex for the Ipswich Tigers. Hand off, halfback right side, straight ahead down to the 33. It's either Gillis or Moran, the ball
Looked
carrier.
Looked like Moran.
You think so? The umpire. Yep, Moran, the ball carrier, the sophomore. Just underway, third quarter here in Ipswich. It's our first crisp night of the year. Getting crisper.
Yep, for sure. Good fall night for football.
And here is the quarterback, Yannikakis. Can't hand off, can't pass, and he goes down, gets back to the line of scrimmage. So we're in Ipswich tonight. So, Adam, did you get your pumpkin while you were over here in Ipswich? This is a great place to get a pumpkin.
I did not know that.
Yeah, if you're around this area, you want to get a pumpkin in Ipswich. I think so.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
Tis the season.
Yep. Might be late now tonight on a Friday night, but unless you get some late night pumpkin places, but it's probably not open at this yet. Here's a run play. Is that that is it's Gillis, the ball carrier, short gainer, 9:20, 40. Yeah, definitely a place to get pumpkins, maybe cider, something like that too. Yeah, and those corn stalks, Tim.
Corn stalks.
Do you ever get those?
No.
No, okay.
No. The wife does all the kind of decorative stuff. So.
Right up behind center is Yannikakis. And the handoff, Gillis again, inside the 25 to the 27.
You know, that play, a couple plays back where Yannikakis got tackled in the backfield. I don't think it was a busted play. I just think he was reading, and he had no opening in the line to take the ball.
Yep.
And he saw defenders coming up on the running backs. He had no one to give it to, really.
Agreed, yeah.
You know?
Two wideouts near side left for Ipswich from the 22. This is a handoff inside to the 20. Moran, I believe the ball carrier. Yep.
Justin Moran.
8.5 minutes to play, third quarter. So again, we've seen this playing out almost similar to the first half in some ways. Ipswich moving the football. Now things are getting a little bit tougher here, down near the red zone here. Ball is resting just inside the 20 at the 19. Second down and 8. And the running back is taken down. The quarterback, Yannikakis, on the keeper, was brought down there by Charlie McDowell.
He blasted through the line there to make that particular play.
Like third and 10 for the
Yannikakis, who's not the tallest player out there on the field, just got swallowed up by McDowell. 7-0 our score. Manchester Essex leading. Second quarter touchdown. The difference here in tonight's game. That's it. One wide out each way here. Quarterback Yannikakis in trouble again, and he's taken down back down at the 25-yard line. Noah Rawson on the tackle.
Coach Hutton really dialing up the defensive pressure after Manchester Essex seemed to move effortlessly down the field to the 20-yard line. All of a sudden, he dialed up the rush.
Yeah, that front seven's really doing a good job these past few plays, getting in the backfield. Not biting on the fakes. They're throwing that option motion, but they're staying true to their keys, making the plays.
This is a fourth down and 10. Maybe 10 plus a foot or so. Here's Yannikopoulos back to pass, putting it in the air down on the right side. It's tipped incomplete. Tipped off the fingertips of the receiver, a defender there as well. But again, a pretty well-thrown football. I think it was Heron, the intended receiver, down and out to the right, down at the 5. But again, how many of those have they had here tonight? Mm-hmm. Balls that are just so close, kind of off the fingertips here, but not caught tonight for Ipswich.
That's the second one in the end zone, and probably at least the fourth.
I think so.
But again, Campbell made a great play. He cut inside the intended receiver.
Manchester Essex taking over. Palazzola quarterback as they take over on downs. They give us to Athanas. Coming near side right out near the 24. 24. Let's see where the line of scrimmage is. It originally was 22, I guess. So they're 2 yard gain, second and 8.
Came shooting across the line from the right side to make that tackle. Solid hit. Drove him into the turf.
Two head coaches here tonight. Jeff Hutton from Manchester Essex and Kevin Fassett for Ipswich High School. Hornets send wideouts each way here. Jackson Lewandowski coming near side right as a wideout. Now Athanas goes in motion to the far side, and the give is to the running back Sarmanian off the left side of the line out to the 28. So Sarmanian has a few yards, but he'll set up a third down and maybe four or five to go for the first down.
This is going to be an interesting play call here. Third and about four. We haven't seen much out of the passing game from Manchester. But you're also backed up in your own end. Let's see if they try to get a quick hitter, maybe get upfield, get the first down.
The Hornets coming in at 2-1, Ipswich coming in at 1-2, but this is their first Baker Conference game within their division in the Cape Ann League here tonight. Both teams entering 0-0 on the year. Palazzolo from the shotgun takes the snap, gives off to Athanas. He's got the first down out to the 35 to the 40. Athanas with about a close to a 15-yard run on that carry.
Nice run. As he broke the line of scrimmage, he let his blockers set up and picked his way through the openings for that game.
From the Tiger 41.
Adam, when you played at Gloucester, you guys didn't face a lot of run, read option.
No, we really didn't see it at all. It's definitely a tough system to run for high school. It's a lot of timing. Takes a lot of repetition, so. Mm-hmm.
Ryan O'Connell over the ball at center for Manchester Essex. Cosmo Palazzolo, the senior quarterback in the shotgun, spins, hands off Athanas, takes it to the 40. So it looks like he actually lost 1 yard on that play on the handoff. The rest of the offensive line, Jackson Rice at a guard, Andrew Hanzopoulos at the other guard, and the tackles Noah Rawson and Charlie McDowell. Wideouts include Lake Fleming, tight end Jackson Lewandowski, running backs Robbie Sarmanian, Jake Athanas, and Gus Campbell. And Cosmo Palazzolo, again, the senior quarterback for the Hornets. So we got a second down and 11 from the Manchester Essex 40-yard line. Lewandowski coming split end out near side right here. There's one out to the left side as well. And this is a handoff to the 40, basically no gain. So the Ipswich defense coming up big here. That was Robbie Sarmanian.
Looked like 74 Spinelli on the tackle. He did a nice job breaking through the line, getting him out of the line of scrimmage.
Third down.
Here's a very depressing thought for you, Adam. Gloucester has 30 yards of offense at the half.
That's usually not a good sign.
27 came in the last drive.
Well, you know, we were talking about that this week with, different people, and the classical defense has been one consistent defense all year long. Roy into the game, number 38, Adam Roy for Manchester Essex. Here's the quarterback rolling out, Palazzolo, now scrambling to the 40, 45, and he goes down there at the 45. This will set up a fourth down and about six to go. So Palazzolo rolling out, wanted to pass, couldn't find anybody, then tucked it in and ran. So this will be a fourth and five from their 46, and they'll punt. Now we got to get the name of this punter here because this is Sarmanian, right?
Sarmanian,
yeah, okay. So Sarmanian has had two very good punts here tonight. Sarmanian will take the long snap, standing at the 33. We apologize for not being able to identify him earlier. Runs up, boots it away. It's nearly blocked. But a good punt, lands at the 30, takes a great Manchester Essex roll for 10 more yards to the 20. It goes out of bounds there, where it'll be first down for Ipswich with 2:47 to go here in the third quarter. And the Hornets are leading 7-0.
Well, the great thing about his punts, he gets that running rugby kick.
Which almost got blocked this time. Though.
Almost got blocked, but the way it turns over, he's getting that positive roll that's, again, giving him, you know, that extra yard is down the field. Three punts in a row, that ball is turned over for him in the way you want it.
Yep.
The kid from Malden last week that we saw, boy, could he kick. Oh, my God, he was kicking the ball 40, 50 yards.
Ipswich starts at their own 19-yard line, a run play far side right to the 21. Looks like... the ball carrier was Gillis, Pat Gillis.
Especially in a game like this where neither team can really get anything going, if you can change field position, get the other opponent deep in their own end, that can work to your advantage big time.
Well, you know, you managed to pick up a turnover in this point of the field.
Right.
You know, you're operating almost in the red zone to start.
Mm-hmm.
Yannikakis at quarterback takes the snap. Options it out on the left side. The back tries to turn the corner. Cut down right away. That's Gillis.
Ryan O'Connell for Manchester Essex. Shot in there. Wow.
Yeah, Ryan O'Connor there.
and he just wrapped up and didn't let him. And that was one-on-one in the backfield.
Yep. Ball's pushed back to the 18-yard line. So now they've got a third down and 11.
Third and 11 for the Tigers.
Minute 45 to go, quarter three. Ipswich trailing 7-0. And here's a pass play out to the left, incomplete, intended there for Tommy Heron. Well, this one wasn't close. There have been so many of these that have been so, so close. This time, Heron was running upfield. The ball went to the was short to the left on the up at the left sidelines. Incomplete pass, and now Ipswich will punt from their 18.
Well, if Manchester has come out any kind of return here, they're going to start in very good field position in Manchester in Ipswich territory.
Cameron James, the other quarterback, the sophomore, is also the punter. He stands back inside his 10 to receive the snap, fields it. Now he runs up and boots it away. He nails a good punt, but he only gets to midfield, and it rolls over midfield to the 45 of Manchester Essex, rolling to the 42, where it stops there. So a nice roll.
Yeah, that's going to be about a 10-yard swing. If Fleming was able to fair catch that, they would have set up shop right at about midfield.
It looked like he was going to
fair catch
that or make a play on that. But you are right on that, because he was standing at the 50, and the ball landed at the Ipswich 45, so it fell short, but then it just rolled 10, 13 more yards after where it landed. Right now, Ipswich needs a stop here. First down from the 42, and Athanas is cut down. Big defensive play there by Will Zambernardi.
That was a great play by Zambernardi. Dodges a few blockers. Manchester had their line pulling on that, but he was able to jet through.
Wow, loss of six. Ooh.
Both teams suddenly coming up with big defensive one-on-one plays here.
Well, that was a big play. One of their bigger defensive plays there by Zambernardi, a linebacker for Ipswich High School. Just came in and cut down Athanas right away. Cosmo Palazzola, their senior quarterback, back in from the sidelines with the play. Lewandowski wide out near side right here. And they hand off to Athanas coming around left side. Turns the corner, has some space out to the 41. So he gets those 6 yards back and maybe one more, a seven. This will set up a third down and 9 for Manchester Essex with 25 seconds to play in the quarter. One score in this game, a Robbie Sarmanian 3-yard touchdown run for Manchester Essex in the second quarter. The Anna Zarelli point after kick was good. That's where we're at, 7-0, Hornets leading. 9 seconds. I don't think we're going to get this playoff. Let's see what. Oh, they're quickly up to the football, though. 4 seconds. Ball is snapped. They do get the playoff. Last play of the quarter. Toss over the middle. Incomplete. Intended there for Lake Fleming. Tim, but we're through. We're through three quarters. We're going to take a quick break. Go ahead. Finish it.
Nope.
We're going
to go to break.
Don't. We're going to make it late. Don't. We don't. We don't want to be late. 7-0 Manchester Essex over Ipswich at the end of three. We're back after this.
Stronger, faster, tougher. When you need the MVP of community banks, look no further than the Institution for Savings, with 14 full-service offices throughout the North Shore. We have MVP rates and an all-star team to serve you. Bank from the ball field with our 24/7 online application apps, internet banking, mobile deposit, and more. Institution for Savings, your winning team. Visit institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student-athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our three locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
MSONewsSports.com, MSO Radio.
Manchester Essex to punt on the first play of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he's going to be down.
And he put
there.
His knee down. Oh, my goodness. The punter put his knee down, and that would be Sarmanian. And so he never gets the punt off, and that means they change downs, and Ipswich gets the big, big break here. So that's basically like a 50-yard swing right
Absolutely.
There, I suppose. Yeah,
the official was all over that one.
40. I I was watching. I didn't know. I was kind of moving around my eyes a little bit. I wasn't sure he actually put the knee all the way down, but you saw it.
Yep, so, the snap actually hit the ground. Sarmadian dropped to a knee to field it, and that's when the ref blew it dead.
Big break for Ipswich as they have a first down at the Manchester Essex 29-yard line, trailing 7-0. So right away, right back out on the field, the Ipswich offense with Benjamin Yannakakis. At quarterbacks, backs are split behind him. The give is to Gillis. Surges off the left side of the line to the 24. So it's sometimes, what's happening here at times? So sometimes, Adam, you've got this space there. There's Gillis just hitting off the left side of the line, and he gets 6 yards probably. Other times in the short-yarded situations, it's just a wall for Manchester Essex. They're not allowing anything.
Right. Looks like they might just be packing it in once they get their backs against the wall there.
Yeah. Which makes you think maybe you go outside when you come into those situations. Now, Gillis looks like he's limping after that play. Yannakakis on the signal call for Ipswich. Second down, wants to pass, puts it in the air again, and it's incomplete. That time it was batted down by a defender.
Blake Fleming, again, cutting in front of the intended receiver. Adam, that's been a real constant with the Manchester Essex backfield. They're reading the play, and they're getting sliding in front of the intended receiver and knocking the ball down or deflecting it away, and they're not forced to come over the back and give a PI.
Right, I've been impressed with the defensive backs on that side so far. Aside from a few mishaps, they've been right there the whole game.
Hand off to Moran. He's got a big gainer down inside the 20 to the 15, tumbling and rumbling down to the 10. So he's very close to setting up a first and goal here. So it's a first down. Let's see where they mark the football. Looks like they're marking it outside the 10. So they've got a first and 10 here from the 11. And this time they hand off the option off on the right. Moran gets it down near the 6. So that could be a 5-yard gain if he's got the 6. He looks like he's got the 5. So that is a 6-yard gain to the 5-yard line. So it'll be second down and 4 from the 5. They could get a first down at the 1-yard line.
It does look like Gillis is still a little ginger on that ankle.
Yeah. Now here's where the ball is at the 4. Yannakakis hands off to Moran. Moran off the right side of the line. He's pushed back outside the 5, but let's see if he got a yard out of it. Doesn't look like they're giving him a yard.
Just as you mentioned, again, we're seeing the Manchester defensive front 7 really tighten up towards the goal line here.
Yeah. Now, that was not a direct inside play. It wasn't like it was right up behind center. It was off the right side of the line. No gainer there. And here's the give is up the middle. This is Gillis straight ahead. Gillis might have a couple of yards out of this, believe it or not. Just a scrum down there from the 5 down to maybe the 3. And again, they can get a first down here. But this is fourth down now. The ball's right on the 1. If it's on the 1, they got a fourth and inches, yeah. I'm wondering, I'm surprised they're not. I guess they're not measuring this, but they must be able to see it close. So maybe the ball is just resting outside the 1, something like that. Yeah.
It looks it.
Yeah, so they got to get it just inside the 1. So they're saying fourth and inch, and that's what it is. Now Ipswich will huddle up here. 8 minutes to go in the football game. Fast-moving football game in Ipswich here tonight. Heron split end out to the left side, as well as Morrissey. Ball hash mark near side right, and they keep it, and the surge looks like it's there, and it is a touchdown.
Touchdown!
A touchdown. They were going. They needed the first down. I think that's Gillis that went in.
Number 10, Ben Yannakakis.
Oh, Yannakakis.
And a tremendous surge.
Initially, it looked like they were stopped short, but they got a good push from the backfield there of Gillis and Moran.
I love watching those scrums. It's like, who's gonna stand tallest in those things?
We said that was a 1 yard, right? Yeah, no, 2 yards. It's got to be 2 yards, right? We'll call it a 2 yard run. Caleb Comeau, point after kick is blocked. It's loose, and it's grabbed by the Hornets and run back to the 29, but that's it. Kick blocked. Oh, that's big. because there is just 7 minutes 44 seconds remaining in the game.
Looks like number two, Lane Plumbing,
so, Ben Yanakakis.
We have a player being helped off here. That looks like number 55, Ryan O'Connell from Manchester.
The score, the Hornets 7, the Tigers 6.
I thought for a moment we were going to have a, somebody was saying there was a penalty here, but I guess not. So we just have a timeout after the touchdown here on MSO News Sports. Just a reminder. Any more scores here? What do we got? What's the latest from Gloucester, Tim?
Still 21-0 nearly in the second half. That's...
So it looks like Manchester's actually warming up another center. O'Connell, he's getting his ankle checked out on the sideline. He was the center. And that's going to be something to note, a backup center coming into a tight game.
Yeah.
See if Ipswich can dial up some pressure on him, maybe force a turnover.
Gloucester has gotten on the board. Ortiz with a 26-yard run.
There we go.
21-7. So.
Plumbing and number eight, Robbie Slamanian. Kicking off for the Tigers, number 71, Caleb.
Again, the updates on the scoreboard are brought to you by Moynihan Lumber.
Caleb Camo of Ipswich to kick off from left to right. And it's a little short kick covered up there by Lewandowski at the 47. So it is very good field position for Manchester Essex at their own 47-yard line to start this drive.
Yeah, they took a chance there on the squib kick, giving them a short field position. There is still plenty of time in this quarter. Interesting that they didn't just kick it deep and try to get a stop.
Yeah.
Might he have mishit that? Because it looked like he got right down at the toe of the ball.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah, something didn't seem right. Here's a run play to the right side for the Hornets. Sarmanian turns the corner. He's got yardage down to the 40 of Ipswich, down to the 35, very close to the 30-yard line. He does have the 30, maybe the 29, where it'll be first down. Palazzola getting the play from Coach Jeff Hutton on the sidelines, near side here. 7.5 to play.
They have really made some solid gains when they're able to get to the outside.
Right.
They get the turn to that corner. Sarmanian using his speed picked up big chunks of yardage.
Wing right coming back left with the handoff down to the 25-yard line. That was Jake Athanas. Oh, no.
Lewandowski.
Here we are again, Coach, as you said multiple times throughout the game. Not too much of an issue between the 20s. Now let's see if they can punch it in again.
Yeah, and this is where, you know, all of a sudden it's getting closer to that 20-yard line mark, and where all of a sudden Ipswich does the same thing. They just tighten up.
Yep.
They start making plays behind the line of scrimmage.
Right.
Ball to the 24-yard line. Second down in about four. And this is Sarmanian straight ahead.
Sarmanian
very close to a first down.
Blake Emerson.
He's to the almost the 20. I thought the
also number 44, Pat Gillis.
Surprised he doesn't have this first down. It's very, very close. So it's third down and one. Just outside the 20-yard line. Hornets in Ipswich territory here, leading by a point now, 7-6, here in the fourth quarter. And the quarterback hands off there to Sarmanian. He's down to the 16 or 15. It's a first down for Manchester Essex. Well, the field position as this drive started, just a killer here for Ipswich, now, it appears now, with the first down at the 15-yard line.
First and 10 Hornets on the 15. The Tiger 15.
And again, keeping it on the ground just keeps that clock ticking.
That's yeah. Right.
This is a run play. Sarmanian coming near side left. He's taken down. Really doesn't look like he got a yard, a couple of yards down to the 13-yard line.
Because Adam, a lot of the games that you played at Wigrant Gloucester were very short games because coach was just run. You know, if you threw it three times in a game, it was like, why so many passes?
Exactly. Yeah.
Second down and 8 for Manchester Essex from the 13 of Ipswich.
And then Brett Cahill, what are you, 7 for 7?
Yeah, for the season.
Direct snap back to Palazzola, hands off Athanas coming around the right side, tries to turn a corner, stretched out. He has the 10.
Number 4, Jake Athanas.
So a gain of a couple of more yards, maybe 3 or 4. Heron knocked him out of bounds on the far side over there. So they got about a 3rd down and 3, maybe. Let's see where they mark it down.
3 and 3.5 to go.
You know, I always tell the story. My favorite play with Gloucester was when Brett would hand off and it'd be the reverse coming back, and he'd be the lead blocker.
Correct. You don't see that too often. Yeah. Your quarterback leading the, and a lot of times the defense where it was getting out of the way of him coming down.
Because he was the starting middle line.
Yeah, correct. You don't see that too often.
No, he was a freight train.
So for all you listeners from Ipswich or Manchester Essex, I'm just letting you know I'm not from Gloucester. Okay? just so you know that. I'm feeling your pain here. Athanas takes the handoff for Manchester Essex, bumps around and goes in around the right end for a touchdown. He's got an 8-yard touchdown run.
Yeah, one of the few instances where there was some really poor tackling on the part of Ipswich. As you're right, Bill, he sort of looked like a pinball bouncing in there once he got beyond the line of scrimmage, but he refused to get down. Again, Adam, he stayed up straight.
Mm-hmm.
He stayed square. Shoulders were square, and he just kept driving.
Yep.
And Zarelli to attempt the extra point.
Zarelli's point after kick is up. This looks short, though.
Short, yeah. Money, did it get tipped, maybe?
No good. Yeah, I'm wondering. But something happened.
Came up a little short.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So now there's a little bit of life back in the life of the Ipswich Tigers as they missed the extra point. So it's now 13-6, Manchester Essex leading. Kick fails.
And back to the run by Athanas. You're right. We haven't seen too many missed tackles on either end.
Yeah.
Short tackling all the way.
Especially inside the 20.
Right.
So I just saw St. Mary's beat Spelman 48-8 tonight.
Ooh, Linfield. Wow. Linfield's racking up some points here, unfortunately, for Winthrop.
Yeah,
47-6.
Yeah, it's a good Linfield team this year again.
Yeah, and Winthrop for under Coach Sean Driscoll, they're just real young, real small. He's got 18 freshmen in his program. I think he only has 7 seniors.
Wow. Essex Tech losing 28-12 to Greater Lawrence. So here is the Manchester Essex kickoff to Ipswich. Gus Campbell's kick. It's a short kick fielded at the covered up at the 39-yard line. No return by Ipswich High School's Cameron James. Now I wonder about that one too, Adam, because now you give Ipswich the ball at their own 39, which is not bad field position.
Right. Again, surprising, but
because kickoffs have not really returns have not been huge for either team. As you mentioned, both teams really have been pretty good tacklers here tonight.
Right.
That has not been the issue. So 4:43 to go. Ipswich trailing 7 here now. Well, each team with a mixed extra point in this contest. Heron going wide out left side for Ipswich. Do we have Yannakakis back at quarterback? Yes, he is. They hand off inside. It'll be a short gainer out to the 42. Gillis, the ball carrier. And again, Gillis looks like he's struggled a little bit getting up. Maybe he's all right.
Brought down by number 68, Charlie McDowell.
4.5 minutes to play. So it's coming down to this. They've had some close games the last 2 years, these two teams, and here's another one here this year. Handoff this time, Moran ahead for a couple more yards on the 2nd down and 6. So he gets 2 more, 3rd down and maybe 3. We keep an eye on the clock for you as well here. Now 4 minutes to play. No, now it's 3rd down and maybe 2, a short 2 here for Ipswich as they creep it out to their own 48. Yannakakis right up behind center. Running backs behind him. Hands off to the left halfback who surges for the first down. Gillis, the ball carrier, for the first down, down to the 48 of Manchester Essex. 3:46 to go.
And that's enough for another Ipswich Tiger.
Adam, do they put in the air here and find some success right now or not? They've been so close on so many pass plays here tonight as they have it down at the 48 of Manchester Essex, trailing by the 7 points. Tight end set to the left. Here is the quarterback back to pass. They do air it out down on the left. Two receivers incomplete. Ball a little bit high.
Tommy
Herron, the intended receiver, down at the 25.
Yeah, you were right on cue there. They did go for the pass. Again, Manchester defensive back was in great position.
I don't mind that because it does stop the clock. 3:23 to play, and they need some big plays here.
Gloucester's just missed a field goal attempt from about the 8-yard line. Oh, that was a point after attempt. I take it back. They did score. So they now trail 21-13, third quarter. So they're making it interesting.
Second down and 10 here from the 48. Manchester Essex, they option it off on the right. Gillis screams down the right sideline and out of bounds. Inside the 35 at the 30, right at the 35. So he goes out of bounds. That stops the clock. That's the kind of run they needed right there as they got a first down at the 35 of Manchester Essex.
And he got knocked out of bounds, stops the clock, gives him time to reorganize. That was a touchdown-saving block by Gus Campbell. He knocked him off his pins, and there was clear sailing beyond him.
Yannikakis looking across the way, far side of the field for his play call. They have Moran in the backfield along with Gillis. Tommy Herron wide out near side right. And Izzy Morrissey wide out far side left. Timeout called by Ipswich here with 3:15 to play in tonight's football game. Fast-moving football game from Ipswich this evening.
Yeah, referee just indicated it was a Manchester Essex timeout, but...
Oh, okay.
No, but,
well, one of them was called over here.
Ipswich was calling it, so I don't know why he said it was Manchester Essex.
Well, one official clearly called, said it was Ipswich that took the timeout, but...
I got to imagine a focus in Coach Brissett's huddle is going to be ball security. Can't expose the ball, can't put it on the turf.
Looks like Masco is up 35-7 in their contest here tonight. So they got to be moving well through the second half against Pentucket. Oh, there's North Reading. Did they come back? Here, wait a minute here. What happened here? I just lost it here.
We know. I've seen you lose it, Bill.
No, Triton is trailing. Now Triton is trailing North Reading 21-17. So North Reading has come back in that contest. So here we go with a first down from the 35, and the quarterback will keep it and get 1 yard to the 34. Well, Yannikakis ran along the line of scrimmage to the right side, looking like he might option it off as he does so many times. Now he's a so there's no gain here. Hamilton Wenham up over Amesbury now 42-6. Generals killing it now in the Cape Ann League here. 2:47 to play. Ball at the, just inside the 35. Second down 9. Here is the quarterback, Yannikakis, putting it in the air down again down to the left side. Jump ball. Drops incomplete. Again, I think the defender might have put a hand on it.
Yeah. Once again, blanket late coverage in the secondary, Adam. And most often, the... Manchester Essex defenders are in front of the Ipswich receivers.
Yep.
You know, if he's going to lay it out, he's going to have to lay it out a little bit earlier and let his guys try to run underneath it. Because right now the ball is hanging up there and the Manchester Essex guys are just being able to react to
it. Who's this Tim Kearns tweeting out those kinds of scores?
Yeah, I couldn't find my MSO, so I threw it out there.
But it's not the right score.
Well, no, it was at the time.
Here is Yannikakis rolling out left side, looking, left arm toss again, way down on the left side.
That's a pass.
Who's got it? Someone's got it. It's either a catch or an interception.
Oh!
It's a catch! It's a catch! Inside the 5-yard line down on the left, and they finally hooked up. They've been so close.
They're still wrestling over it. It looks like I did see Lake Fleming, the defensive back from Manchester, get his hands on it as well. But if they both happen to come down with it, that's going to be a good catch.
The official's clearly giving the ball to Ipswich. He pointed Ipswich's way. So it's a first and goal. Heron with the catch. So they finally did it. Benjamin Yannakakis, two. Tommy Heron, first and goal here. Ball's at the two, I believe, or one. What a play. Gillis in the backfield, along with Moran. And they give it to Gillis off the right side of the line. He's in. Touchdown.
Wow.
Oh, man. Ipswich is within one. So now. 13-12. Do you go for two or do you go for the kick to tie?
Well, we saw Coach Bissett go for it on fourth down on his own end in the first quarter, so he's clearly shown he's willing to take chances.
Well, the call from the press box from the announcer is go for two. He's laying it on the line here.
It looks like that's what they'll do.
It's interesting. I was 2 points gives them the lead. A kick could tie it up for them, and they're going for the 2 points. Same alignment they had a moment ago. Moran in the backfield with Gillis. This time Moran is on the right side, Gillis on the left. Now Manchester, they still credit that timeout to Ipswich. I was thinking that Manchester Essex coach called the timeout, but I guess it's Ipswich calling the timeout. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. Still plenty of time left now in this game. Just over 2 minutes. 2 minutes and a second to play. Great to have you with us here on MSO News Sports. Do check out North Shore Sports Night, our weekly local sports talk show every Monday night at 7 o'clock with Rick Moore and Tim Kearns. Also Connections now Thursday mornings here on MSO News Sports. Timeout here, so we have a bit of a delay. Newburyport football team is off this weekend. Manchester Essex has deployed back on defense. And what we're dealing with here is a two-point conversion. It's a 13-12 game. Ipswich is trailing by the 1 point. A two-point conversion gives them the lead. They're lining up for the two-point conversion. Moran on the right, Gillis on the left as the halfbacks. Wideouts one each way. The quarterback rolling out to the right side. They give us to Gillis. He angles in. It's good. He's in. 2 points, and Ipswich takes the one-point lead. Oh, man, Pat Gillis. Again, we were talking about him limping a little while ago, but he is one competitor. And it's now 14-13 Ipswich.
Adam, I was going to ask earlier, with as things kept getting tougher and tougher as they got to the 20 and inside, even Ipswich was having their greatest success pitching and getting wide.
Right.
And yet they seemed determined to make the odds up the middle. Mm-hmm. And yet, on that particular play, toss, wide, 2 points.
And that's the same play that we saw them run right when they were at about midfield and Gillis was able to pick up the first and get out of bounds. So Coach Brissett must have seen something on that side of the defense that he could exploit, and he was able to get it again.
Well, he's obviously got enough speed in his backfield
right.
to get there. You know, why not just feed that horse, you know, until he can't run anymore?
Agreed.
You know?
Now, they got the football back here. Actually, I didn't have the last time here, but four something. And so they do that drive in just a little over 2 minutes. So Caleb Comeau will kick off now, and there's still 2 minutes left in this football game. Ground ball kick rolling to the 34-yard line and covered up right there without a return. Alertly covered up and nearly slipped by the defender.
By number five, Jackson Lewandowski.
Jackson Lewandowski covered it up. He's a senior.
Will begin first and 10.
Give him the 35 on the 35. Cover up there. First down there for Manchester Essex.
2 minute warning. 2 minutes left in this.
And another innocuous piece of sporting information. Woody Lancaster had the winning pumpkin tonight at the Tuffield Fair. 2,003.5 pounds.
Manchester Essex, Palazzola, quarterback. Oh! Loose ball. And it's still up for grabs, but I think Ipswich just covered it up. Yep. Ipswich is Gillis with the football, covers it up. They fumbled. They had a miscue in the backfield, quarterback to running back. And a rare mistake in tonight's game. Each team has played pretty solid. A couple of penalties, but then a tough break there for the Hornets. A fumble in the backfield as they start trailing by a point at their own 35-yard line with 2 minutes to play. They fumble it on that first play, and Gillis covers it up.
Ryan O'Connell had a chance to make that recovery for Manchester Essex, but he overran the ball, and Ipswich, charging after it, managed to fall on it for the recovery.
No surprise we see Gillis fall on that football. He's been all over the place tonight on both sides of the ball.
He has had a big game. There's no question about it. Yannikakis, the junior quarterback, did not start tonight. Cameron James did, but we knew they both would be playing here tonight. We were told that they both would see action. Yannikakis finishing it off here, still searching over across the way towards his bench for the call. He's right up behind center. Ball from the 26-yard line after the fumble. They dive it inside for no gain. And now Manchester Essex will call time to stop the clock with a minute 48 to play.
Number five, Justin Moran. Right down by number 54, Noah Rawson, and number 58, Zach Edwards. Timeout, Hornets.
So someone just said this was their second timeout. So they got a few more timeouts they can call. Minute 48 to play. Looks like Ipswich is going to need a first down here, right, Adam? Yeah.
If they want to run the clock, they'll need at least one more first.
So they got a yard maybe on that one. So it's second down and nine, from the 25. Yannikakis calling the signals. Wide outs to the left side. They dive it inside to Gillis, and he's to the 20. That turns out to be a very quick gainer, but he gets a few yards out of that. Maybe five or so, six. He got more yards than I thought he would on that. Yeah. Tough to defend, and so it's now going to be maybe a third and four or so.
Third down and a long four for the Tigers.
Will Zambernardi was hustling in from the sidelines a moment ago, now hustled back out, I think.
Let's see if Coach Hutton dials up some pressure here. I find it hard to believe that they would throw the ball here. Let's see if he sells out on the run, tries to get him behind the line.
Now somebody just brought that play in from the sidelines. Still Yannikakis at quarterback. Got two wideouts far side left. Backs are split behind the quarterback, right up behind center Yannikakis. Moran in the backfield along with Gillis. Now Yannikakis stands up. Get a third down here in about four for Ipswich, leading by a point, handing it off inside.
That's going to be
should
close.
Be enough for the first down, yeah, it looks like. Gillis.
Gillis.
Well, there you go. That's not right up the middle, but not outside either. Off kind of left tackle running.
And
it's a first down. So they get it down inside the 15 to the 14-yard line. And that's what they need. A minute 38. So they must have called a timeout here. Did Manchester Essex?
Well, it's interesting, Adam, before that fumble, the one thing you had talked about, Coach Hutton talking to the kids about holding onto the ball.
Right.
Yeah.
Those like first and 10 for the Tigers.
Especially those turnovers, it's those things that can swing a game, especially in division games. For some reason, it seems like in conference games, they're always so close, and it's going to be that one or two mistakes or who doesn't make them that's going to decide who comes out on top.
And this game was so clean, as Bill mentioned, with just a couple of penalties. There were no interceptions. There were no fumbles. There were no turnovers from either side. It was just back and forth positional football.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, in the late stages, one big pass that I thought was an interception.
Right.
You know, because the defender again had inside position.
You couldn't defend that any better.
Oh my God, he was up there. He had the ball, but somehow the receiver got behind. Came from behind, got the hand in, and pulled the ball in. That was an incredible switch.
A minute 38 to play here. And
looks like they'll set up to take a knee here.
A first down and 10 here for Ipswich. No. Inside the 15. And they give us Moran, opener up the middle, spinning down to the 4-yard line. And that is probably a first down, so they're going to have a first and goal.
Dangerous decision, Adam?
I think so. I thought for sure they would come out and take a knee there.
And that's enough for another.
That's the final timeout right there for Manchester Essex.
Oh, so they did have another one left.
Yeah, so they – I don't think you can fault them for that.
Right. I thought Manchester had timeouts there. But
no, that one right there, the call one they just called now, is their last timeout. Final score, it was Masco over Pawtucket tonight, 35-7. Game's faster than ours.
Really?
What's up with that? Well, we've slowed down here, I think, a little bit in the fourth quarter here as it's gotten tight. Ipswich rallying, coming back. They trailed 7-0. They trailed 7-6. They trailed 13-6. But now they lead 14-13 with a minute 31 to play in tonight's game. Big comeback. Pat Gillis, a one-yard touchdown run in the fourth quarter with just about 2 minutes to play. Yannakakis on a two-yard run for their first touchdown. Sarmanian and Athanas with touchdowns for Manchester Essex tonight.
Gloucester has just scored a Matt Smith 19-yard run. It is 21-19. PAT coming.
First and goal from the three-yard line. And it is Moran running it in for the touchdown. Justin Moran.
Touchdown by number 5, Justin Moran.
Coming with a minute 25 to play. Their last touchdown came with like 2:06 to play. 2:01, rather. We got a lot of football in that last 35 seconds or so. They'll go for the point after kick here. Caleb Camo.
Now, there's still a minute 25 on the clock. I wonder if Ipswich might have scored too soon, because Manchester will get the ball back, and if they convert, down by 8.
I'll tell you, I think they would take this touchdown. I don't care. You know, I hear what you're saying.
Yep.
Because they would have been in this. Well, go ahead, Tim. I'm sorry.
Gloucester's 2-point conversion attempt failed. They trail Classical with just a couple minutes left. 6 minutes left, 21-19. So they obviously have the offensive momentum here. Are there.
2-point conversion attempt coming up here. This is a good call here, I think, here. And they run it to the right side. Moran pushes to the goal line. And he's got it. Moran went in for the 2 points. Just got in off the right side of the line.
A stunning turn of events.
Here's an original thought. A stunning turn of events, folks, I'm telling you. That's I'm telling you. As a reporter, let me just be the first to say that.
And social commentary provided by.
Well, we'll.
I texted him last night to make sure he practiced.
You haven't copyrighted that, have you? I can use that, right? Yeah. But, in fact, that's exactly what it is. It's been a stunning turnaround here. For Ipswich High School, they trailed, believe it or not here, about 3 minutes ago, they trailed 13-6, and now they lead 22-13. So this has been a fast turnaround here for the Tigers. One minute 25 seconds remaining in the game. Camo to kick off for Ipswich 2, Manchester Essex. This is a little chip shot. It comes down, lands at the 37, fielded there on one hop. And it's, Panzopoulos on the return. He's to the 40. It'll be first down there for Manchester Essex.
Owen Tracy.
So the lead is 9. So there's a little bit of a cushion here. I think they answered you, Adam, with your concerns about this.
I think they did.
Coach Fassett thinking, this ought to quiet down Adam Philpott up in the booth. I'm telling you right now, going for the 2-point conversion. I've heard enough of this guy. Here is Palazzola back to pass, rolling left side, throws it in. Oh, incomplete. Yeah. Almost was a nice catch there.
I couldn't figure who was throwing it to because Lake Fleming had come down and was going down the sideline. And he threw it about 10 yards behind him, And then suddenly, who was it?
Lewandowski.
Lewandowski all of a sudden came between two defenders and was reaching out for the ball.
Yeah, Jackson Lewandowski nearly came up with a great catch on that football right off the turf, the top of the turf at the Ipswich 49.
Adam, in that case, do you need just a shorter pass that doesn't take so much time and look for the look for the receiver to make his way down the field?
Palazzola putting it in the air again, way down on the left side. There's a defender there who intercepts it at the 25-yard line. Alex Brum intercepting it, the senior. And Ipswich gets another turnover on the interception by Brum at the 21-22-yard line. Well, can't fault Palazzola for putting it up there.
Yeah,
but you got to give Brum credit for being there.
Yep, great play. Again, they didn't have much of a choice. They had to take a shot downfield.
Well, but again, to the point of going shorter, you know, it's the Patriots and Tom Brady philosophy of I'll throw it five, we'll get eight, get out of bounds, stop the clock.
Yep, get the ball in space into an athlete's
hands.
Don't
have any more timeouts. Right. So you have to. Right. Use the sidelines as your friend there.
Mm-hmm. Minute four to remaining in the game. Ipswich put a knee down. Clock hasn't started yet, has it? There we go. Got it going now. Ball's at the 21. The knee is down. Manchester Essex cannot stop it. They are out of timeouts. 22-13, Ipswich is leading, less than a minute to play. Adam and Tim will have the post-game show just ahead. Again, the Manchester Essex touchdowns, Sarmanian and Athanas, yard rushes of 3 and 8 yards respectively. Yannakakis, a 2-yard run. Pat Gillis for Ipswich, a 1-yard run. And Justin Moran, a 3-yard touchdown run. 30 seconds to go. Tigers put the knee down again. Flag goes down.
Somebody said something.
Looked like there might have been maybe the defense went offside. I'm not sure about that.
The same official who threw the penalty flag at the 2-yard line earlier.
This is another 15-yard penalty, Tim.
Just threw to get through another one.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is two on Manchester Essex. So obviously,
10-second runoff.
I'm supposed to like 200 against the.
Well, the other one was on.
Had to have been.
No, the other one was on. Yeah, it's the same thing. Yeah,
because they were threatening to score.
I didn't see anything. You wonder if a player must have said something that drew the flag there.
You wouldn't think it would have happened in that earlier scenario, though.
Right.
That's it. It's over. Final score: Ipswich 21, Manchester Essex 13. Adam and Tim will be back just ahead here with the postgame show just ahead here on MSONewsSports.com.
Get the skills you need to be a leader in sports and recreation. A master's in athletic administration from Endicott's Van Loan School prepares students for careers in schools, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, sports governing bodies, private sports clubs, and more. Van Loan's athletic administration master's program is 100% online with affordable tuition. Try a class before fully enrolling. Visit vanloan.endicott.edu/athleticadmin today.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever you plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Be sure to check out North Shore Sports Night every Monday night at 7. The North Shore Sports Talk Show with Rick Moore and Tim Kearns.
All right, we are back here at Ipswich High School, where Ipswich has come from behind to beat Manchester Essex. 22-13 on the strength of some very late fourth quarter heroics and some misplays by Manchester Essex after a very, very clean game. Adam, thoughts?
Yeah, it was a great game back and forth. Both teams moved the ball effectively in between the 20s, as you alluded to multiple times. But again, in games like this, it came down to, you know, who was going to break first, and it was eventually that one mistake on the fumble that was going to cost them in the end.
Okay, let's take a look at the. Thank you. Let's take a look at the scoring. Manchester Essex got on the board first. 5:37 left in the second quarter when Robbie Sumerian, 3 yards from 3 yards out, ran it in. Anna Zarelli with the point after. Made it 7-0. And then no scoring until the fourth quarter. Ipswich at the 7:44 mark. Ben Yannakakis made it 7-6, a 2-yard run. The kick was blocked, and so, again, the situation tightened. With 4:07 left to go, Jake Athanas, an 8-yard run. The kick failed again, 13-6, Manchester Essex. And then it was all Ipswich. Pat Gillis, a 1-yard run. Extra point try was good. It was 14-13 Ipswich. And then with 1:25 left, Justin Moran from 3 yards out. And Moran scored on the two-point conversion, made it 22-13. And that is the way it ended. The game actually ended on a penalty with a 10-second runoff for a penalty within the last 2 minutes against Manchester Essex. And it ended 22-13. It was a well-played game. It was very fast, a handful of passes. Mm-hmm. Ipswich, if they had been able to connect earlier, maybe would have put this game away much sooner. Manchester Essex, no sooner, as you said, during the timeout, that Coach Athanas was probably preaching ball security, mm-hmm. they coughed it up.
Right.
You know, and that's one of those things that'll drive coaches crazy. As soon as you tell them to do something, they do the opposite. Or a situation occurs where the opposite, you know, comes back to haunt them.
Right. And I was really impressed with how well Ipswich ran the ball, but also how they passed. If it wasn't for how well the Manchester secondary played, we might be talking about a little more lopsided score, because Manchester's defensive backs made some tremendous plays on the ball. But in the end, Ipswich just made too many plays in the run game with Gillis and Moran. I think they just got worn down a little bit.
You know, and both teams made more yardage going outside mm-hmm. than they did inside, which makes you wonder why they're not, you know, more outside run oriented on a toss sweep.
Yep.
You know, getting those backs who've got some speed, Gillis, Moran, get them wide. Let them use that speed one-on-one to break a tackle, get down the sidelines, and just keep moving the team down the field.
Yeah, almost all their success came from that read option pitch to the outside when they were able to set the edge. Just like you mentioned, both teams, when it came right up the gut, couple chunk plays here and there, but not too much doing. It was really once they were able to set the edge, get outside, when they were able to be effective, move the ball.
All right, let's take a look at the Moynihan scoreboard. Again, Moynihan in the 26th year of the Moynihan Student Athlete Award. Look for those individuals to be honored throughout this season, throughout the year, and then the final award program later in the spring. Okay, Classical is still up 21-19 over Gloucester. Gloucester has the ball. Last I saw, let's see. A minute left in that game, and the Fishermen are at midfield, and time is running. And when you run the wing tee, it can take you some time to get down the field, because time is often an enemy mm-hmm. running the wing tee, unless you're gashing for very big yardage. And that's a Classical defense that's not giving up big chunks of yardage at all this year.
That's for sure. That was my first thought when I heard that they were down 21-0. When you're a run-oriented team as much as Gloucester is, it can be tough to get those big plays down the field. And when you're running the ball, as you said, the clock just keeps running and running. But Gloucester teams, you know, they're not going to quit. Nice to see them fight back into the game, nonetheless.
Yeah, that'll be the one positive I'm sure that coach really will be able to talk about. But going down 21-0 is something he's also going to point to.
Correct, yeah, for sure.
You know, they got beat on a couple of deep passes by Ridley. Ridley's going to do that to everybody this year. Mm-hmm. He's such an outstanding player, and he's got receivers that can go get the ball, and they can run past the deep secondary. Mm-hmm. And he's got an arm that can just put it out there and allow those speeds just to go run underneath it.
Right, yep.
All right, let's take a look. Linfield defeated, I was leading Winthrop, 47-6. Hamilton Wenham was easily handling Amesbury 42-6. Masco final 35-7 over Pentucket. Greater Lawrence at Essex Tech was leading 35-18 at last we saw. Our last score on St. Mary's Cardinal Spelman was 14-0, but that was very, very early, early on. Tomorrow's games, Lynn English at Saugus at 1, Malden Catholic at St. John's Prep at 6, Fenwick at Arlington Catholic at 1, Malden at Danvers at 1, Coyle Cassidy at Georgetown at 1 o'clock game, Minuteman at Lynn Tech at 2, and Kip Academy from them is at Mystic Valley. So, for Bill Newell, who's on the field with the coaches, my new associate Adam Philpott, who did an absolutely outstanding job tonight, sounded like he'd been in the booth for ages. But not sure where he's going to show up next. He may be at a next Gloucester game with Rick Moore and his former coach Paul Ingram. But for Bill, Adam, Bill Popowski, our engineer, I'm Tim Kearns, thanking you for listening to tonight's game. There's nothing scheduled for tomorrow. Ed, it is a holiday. We'll be back next Friday night with more Northeast Conference football. So from Ipswich with the final score, 22-13 Ipswich over Manchester Essex. I'm Tim Kearns. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again. And don't forget to listen in on Monday night for North Shore Sports Night with myself and Rick Moore, when we'll talk to coaches, players, and anybody else who will listen to us. Okay, good night, folks.